Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
What are you doing, Frank?
I'm very well now. I'm the Charlemagne, am I? Now I'm using a web server. Is it sounding okay?
Yes, on my end it sounds perfect.
Right. Listening to Walter Veith. I've lost you.
Oh, I'm back. For some reason, my headset decided to disconnect for a second.
Okay. No, you sound a lot better now, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything is in order. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, and I don't watch much news, but everything I get from Australia is rather concerning.
It's politically, although, you know, it's not really affecting me, Ben Maher. I was out last night at karaoke, and I didn't wear a mask, and no one said anything.
It's apart from my wife, really. She was giving you trouble for the mask.
Yeah.
It's kind of difficult. I must say that I am happy that my loved one is a psychologist, obviously, so it makes it it easier for me. But yeah, I saw that there was some places were in lockdown, that some places were not allowed to go to work if it was more than 10 kilometers away from home. It seems surreal, really.
That must be in New South. Is that you can't go to work if it's more than 10 kilometers from home? I didn't even know that.
That's what I read somewhere. Someone posted the condition. I think it was Melbourne, I figure. Or Sydney.
No, it must have been Sydney.
Yeah. I must say that it's terrifying for me because basically it's what is going to happen to us during winter time.
Yeah, well, you're getting flooded now, apparently.
Yeah, sort of. Not specifically in Switzerland, in the place that I am right now. We have daily rain, which is kind of bothering during the summer, but it's not flooded. But yeah, some parts of Europe are flooded, exactly.
And you have daily rain in Switzerland?
Yeah. But it's not a constant. There is some moment of sun, so. But it makes it difficult to plan anything as an outdoor activity or anything like that, so. It's a little bit of an issue, but yeah, like I said, I'm worried that what is happening to you at large, not specifically you, but you in Australia, is going to happen to us soon enough in Europe. And,
I don't think there's any need to worry, Benoit, because it's a certainty, so there's no point worrying.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is to, you know, become accepting, I think, rather than worried. It's a certainty. It's not like it's in doubt. Everything's being tested here first, and you get it.
That's a fact. But there is not only bad side to this coronavirus thing. Like, for example, I just got 10 days vacation because I said that someone I know was tested positive and that I had to isolate. So basically, it's not the worst. You can always find something good in any situation in the end.
I don't want it.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, well, and the same for me. No, you know, there's been plenty of positives for me personally.
Yes, and I'm not worried much about the masks or anything. When I can abstain from wearing it, I don't wear it. And when I have to wear it, like I work, I wear it, and I don't even care really. It's not the thing that will change my mood or the way I live or anything like that.
Right. A fellow that I spoke to last night, though, just had his injection on Monday, and he was sick all week.
Yeah, it's terrible. This thing is starting to bother me because as long as it doesn't touch me personally, there is no issue. But like I mentioned last week, I spoke with my 14-year-old daughter, and she's willing to have the vaccine. That's something that is worrying me, but I have absolutely no say in it. So she will do it, that I want it or not. So It's terrible, but in the end, it's a question of acceptance. I have to accept that it's her life, her choice, and even if she's influenced by the wrong people, it was my case at one point in my life, and it probably is always the case for in one subject or another. So I cannot be too hard on her, and, you know, we got to accept what life is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not everyone is going to bad effects.
Well, I think the idea that there is an actual trial going on is correct. I think some people are given saline and some are injected, and that idea, I think, has some merit.
Yeah, probably. What I would really like to know is who is getting the saline and on which criteria they are giving either a foreign substance, whichever it is, and on which criteria they decide to give you saline. But it will be very hard to establish.
I'm guessing that it's a double-blind trial. They're issuing out the, you know, doses of one type or the other. I mean, this is all speculation, so I'm just... It's clearly people that are totally unaffected and many people that are severely affected.
Yes.
And
Go on. I'm sorry.
There's a doctor in the U.S., a well-known epidemiologist doctor who is saying that there has been at least 45,000 deaths within 2 weeks of the vaccine in the USA just from one of their adverse consequences websites, and there are apparently 11 of these things. So,
wow.
You know, they're pretty strong statistics.
This is Jeff Sand, dude.
Laura Mars.
The Phoenician.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Yeah, so I mean, these things are I'll have to follow up and find out what the reality is of that. That was reported by Walter Veith in his latest missive.
Mm-hmm. So a life trial.
So yeah, I think it's getting serious.
Yes, I think so too, but there is nothing you can do about it. Society will continue to live on that term, and at least we can be hopeful that some people are protesting and that there seem to be some kind of backlash. But it will not change much. The political authority will not change. There will not be a big movement, a big awakening of consciousness. Life will continue.
I think so, yeah. Well,
but nothing is lost. I mean,
as I said before, the world has changed now. It's gone. The old...
Oh, yeah.
You know, life has changed for everybody.
Yeah, but we were lucky to be on this plane of existence for long enough to have enjoyed the good side of life, and maybe we are heading toward a more difficult period. But let's remain hopeful. Nothing is lost. I don't think that it will be the same exactly, but we can still get back some of the things that we had before. And like you said, you can continue to evaluate the way you want, and there isn't much forces that can really reframe that. It can make it a little bit more difficult, but maybe life will be more interesting.
Yeah, that's right. But it's interesting how like the story of Job this thing is.
Remind me of the story of Job,
about a God-fearing man who's tested by God and Satan. And he's basically loses everything but never loses his faith in the Creator, and everything ultimately gets restored to him. But, you know, it's been a bit like what's happened to us, I think. There's been, you know, presumably a long period of Christian faith followed now by a long period of turning away from God. And there certainly seems to be testing going on now. People are having everything taken away from them.
Yes, but some of the things that we have were completely pointless anyway, so maybe...
That's right, burn it all down.
Yes, some of it we don't really need it anyway. I mean, come on. If I cannot access like a certain shop, I may not be able to buy cigarettes anymore. Is it really a bad thing for me?
Exactly.
If I cannot go to the grocery store anymore, I will have to resort to grow my own food. Is it really that bad for me? Not at all.
That's right. I completely agree, Benoit.
Yes, I am trying to see the positive. The only thing that may be difficult to access is a good quality of salt if I cannot go in any stores.
All right. You're a long way from the water, I guess, aren't you? A long way from the sea.
Yeah. The only place I can source some good salt would be to find the place where salt was recolled on the cave. And if it's abandoned, take it over for myself. That would be the only option.
I think there is, there used to be salt, in the Alps somewhere, certainly around Germany.
Yes.
There is that.
Yes, there is one in the French-speaking part of Switzerland. I don't know if it's active still, but there is a salt mine. So it's not that it's impossible, but it will be less easy. But anyway, the thing is that, yeah, it's, losing access to some of the commodities of society, it's not the worst. I mean, of course, if you get an open fracture on the leg or whatever like that, okay, having an hospital may be nice, but for anything else, it's of no help, really. There is not much thing that you cannot cure by yourself.
Yeah, look, I you raise an interesting point. If these guys then start to make restrictions on salt, which wouldn't surprise me, it's been talked about. In fact, there is an organisation dedicated to having salt turned into a prescription available only. It's called WASH. And their primary focus is to have salt banned from the shops and only available on prescription.
Which is completely insane. What they should do, really, if there is
why would you even start an organisation like that? What on earth would motivate the average person to want to start an organisation like that? I am completely bamboozled by it.
Well, I think that their intention are in the right place, because honestly, the salt that is already added to the food, it's a terrible grade of salt and it should not be consumed by anyone. So basically, I'm all for removing salt from the produce that I can buy in the supermarket, as long as I can access some great Himalayan salt or the same quality or great sea salt. And use it on my food as much as I want. I don't see any issue in it, but to make it a prescription, it's completely insane. But yeah, I can go for adding less salt of the lower quality to the food that I'm eating.
Yeah. Well, anyway, like I said, I won't be amazed if that's what happens.
Yeah, everything that's good for you will be outlawed one day.
Yeah, I think so. Yep. How is your romance going?
Wonderful. Pending on a COVID result test, she will be here with me in Switzerland on Monday.
Amazing. Amazing story.
Yeah. It's wonderful. And it goes to show that if you have the right dedication, you can still travel. You just have to not take in consideration that they say, oh, it's not possible, and there is this, and there is that. The only thing is that the government is getting more and more nosy, but... I don't care. It's their world, not mine. All I want is for her to be with me, and we can achieve that via some hurdle. We have to fill some paper. Of course, there is the stupid PCR test, but it's not the end of the world. If you really want to, you can continue to live your life as freely as you want, almost.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. I know people that are traveling. A friend of mine just came into Australia and has gone back. He's currently now in Thailand. So yeah, obviously people are traveling.
Yes, it's just a question of mental fortitude to be ready to, okay, I mean, some people will say, yeah, but you have to reveal personal details and everything. My opinion is that the first day I typed something on the internet, I had no privacy, and there is a file somewhere that contains everything about me, so I don't really care to give my government specific details about who I'm involved with or whatever. I think that when push comes to shove, those details will be readily available anyway.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah, so in short, I agree with you. I think a lot of the rules are they're talked about more than actually enacted.
Yeah, they cannot enforce everything, and it's a question of cost efficiency. You cannot track everyone, you don't have the time, and some people will fall to the cracks anyway. Like I did when I was in the UK, because I did not observe quarantine. It was not intended, but I give the English government a false address. My cell phone was not working in the UK, and I was locked out of my email account. So basically, the UK government had no way to contact me in any form, and it didn't change anything. If anything, I was more free than I would be if they have some real contact information. And they did not even try to send me a mail. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Because it's all smoke and mirrors, I think. It's just to scare people. And
it's looking that way, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. To give you another example, when I arrived back in Switzerland, So I was not allowed to work because I got a text message from the Federal Office of Health that told me that I was quarantined and that I had to report to the local authority, which I did not do, and they didn't even try to contact me.
Mm-hmm.
No one tried to enforce quarantine or anything. But I have a friend that came back from Mexico a little bit before. He reported to the local authority, and he was like, oh, they called me every day at home to check that I am here. So basically, it's a little bit like... It's on your level of compliance. If you don't really give much care about it, nothing real bad will happen.
Mm.
But if you give in into the system completely, like do everything in order or whatever, yeah, of course they will be on you because you are an easy target and they have to show that they are doing something. Exactly.
You're creating your own world, really, aren't you?
Exactly. I think so. It's like they are saying that people from the UK are not allowed to enter Switzerland. Under normal circumstances, but we managed to do it anyway. So like I said, pending a COVID test result, which I know will be positive in my sense. They will say that it's a negative, but for me it's a positive. It will be perfect. Like you say, we create and manifest our own reality. It may sound a little bit new age, but I really believe it is. If you put enough goodwill into the universe...
It's not a view that I've always subscribed to, but I am beginning to have the view that... we manifest a lot of things with our thoughts.
Yes, and in the end, you only get what you give. You get back what you give. So if you are a good person, if you try to live righteously and not be a nuisance to the world at large, no real bad thing will happen to you in most cases.
That's an interesting view.
Yeah, if you see, I don't mean that you have to be a good Samaritan to everyone, to overextend yourself, to help the other, but if you do just what it's possible to do, just a little bit of good in the world, I think that nothing really bad will happen to you. And especially if you believe in yourself or in an higher power, I think that is a great help, because whatever, if you believe in God, what can touch you in what they are doing right now? It's only worldly problem. It's not really that important. You only go through this existence as a phase for your soul, as I see it. And you don't, and being too worried will bring absolutely no good to you. So, like I said, just going through existence, being a good person in general, it will probably yield great results for everyone.
Yeah. I think it must be difficult for a lot of people, though, Ben, when they're tormented by the idea that... when they breathe, they're killing people. If they're tormented by the idea that when they turn on their gas heater to stay warm, that they're destroying the world, it can't be a very easy mindset to live with.
Yes, it must be terrible. It must be awful to think that you are taking the risk to kill someone. But like this vaccination thing, I'm not worried much about it because in the end, they need some people to be unvaccinated because who they are going to complain about in 6 months, in a year? They need to keep a percentage of the population unvaccinated. So all I have to do is to stay in that percentage of the population.
Yeah. They need us. Yeah. Good point. It's good to be needed.
They definitely need us. Yeah.
Well, who are they going to have for their slaves afterwards anyway? If they kill everybody off, they obviously need some slaves.
Exactly. And also, yes, they are going to say that it's on us, that it's because of us and everything, but I don't care, really. It doesn't touch me more than that. It's not my problem. And specifically in my case, because I'm medically exempt from any type of vaccination anyway, so I cannot even be at fault, you know? It's not even on me, even for the regular people. I'm a victim of this situation. As far as they know, I'm willing to be vaccinated. It's just not a possibility for me.
Mm. And the same for me. I offered to be vaccinated, as I've said. No problem.
Yes, as long as someone is willing to take responsibility if something goes wrong. And since no one will, you cannot be vaccinated.
Yeah, that's the theory. We'll see how it works out in practice.
Oh, yes. Yes, but I think that we still have some time. Like I said, a year from now, they will still need at least 10% of the population to be unvaccinated. I mean, they can prevent us from going to movie theater. But anyway, we were paying to be indoctrinated, so it's not a bad thing at all to not have access to some of the movies that are playing now.
I think the punishment will probably be the reverse, that you have to go to the movie theater. Watch propaganda films.
Yes, but anyway, we are doing it through the internet, so it's not like they really have to push it on us. I mean, I'm of the opinion that the movie industry is not really yielding a good financial result, as they're saying. I think that it's only financed for the fact that it's propaganda and mind control.
And yeah, that was, I thought him, a.k.a. Aberrato, pointed that out very cleverly the other day when he said there simply is no real financial model for the newspaper industry at the moment. But, you know, it hasn't been for a long time.
Yes.
They're
only there to propagate the fear.
Yeah, and they get their money simply to propagandize.
Yeah, and they don't need to make profit or anything. They just need to exist, and some people will continue to fund them, so it's not the world. I'm worried about the situation in some sense because, I don't want to be locked down or anything, but I'm ready to see how the enforcement is going. And in the end, whatever, make me a political prisoner. That may not be the worst thing that could happen to me, really.
What's your definition of a political prisoner?
And even if I was to be put in jail or someone that is in jail because he refused to conform to the views of society on certain subjects. So if you harm someone, obviously some kind of punishment has to be put on you. But for me, a political prisoner is someone that did not commit any crime per se, but it's still imprisoned. Like if you don't pay your tax and you go to jail, you are a political prisoner because you choose to take a stance and they decided to apply force on you because it set a bad example. So I'm not worried that much for me personally, but for my kids and for some people that are close to me, I'm a little bit sad because, like you said, some of the people I love and I cherish dearly, they think that they might kill someone if they don't act a certain way, and that must be terrible. That's such a weight to have on your soul, really.
The guilt thing, yeah. That's pretty tough.
Yeah. But some people also, they like to be righteous, they like to do the right thing, they like to be on the good side of an issue. So for them, it's not the worst, you know, there is the guilt, there is the fear, but there is also the great sentiment of being part of the herd and to be doing everything that is right. And some people are very, very, very proud of getting the vaccination and everything. So those people, even if you add the fear to it and everything, they must feel pretty good about themselves in the end.
Yeah. It's I'm continue to be. I'm asking alone now. I'm really glad to see no one
else around. I'm asking at home now. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Wear a mask inside your home.
I was saying I continue to be puzzled. People's acceptance of vaccination for a statistically impossible likelihood. So that the chances of...
Even if you go by their number.
Just on their numbers, what's going on means that you have got more chance of being killed by falling off the ladder than you have from this thing.
Yes. But it's fascinating in that sense because no one is really taking that in consideration. We have 99.99999% of not dying from
recovered.
A disease, which, by the way, doesn't even exist. But if you choose to believe, if someone chooses to believe that it exists,
yes, I'm just
saying,
if you choose
number.
On their own narrative, it still makes no sense.
Yeah, but I think that it is one of the ill of societies that some people, they want to be immortal, you know what I mean? It's like we stopped to take death in consideration as a part of life, as the natural ending of it. So people will do anything to avoid death, even if it means getting closer to it without realizing it.
Fear of death is the chief control mechanism, without doubt.
Yeah. But that's a little bit logical because, yeah, we have less kids dying in their young age and people are living older and they have access to more resources than ever in the history of humanity, allegedly. So it's kind of logical for them to be fearful of death and they're like, oh, all I have to do is take a jab and I will not die from coronavirus, which is completely stupid because there is way, even if one is believing in that narrative, there is easy way to not be killed by something as common as a flu virus.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's a puzzle to me. I'm obviously not going to solve it, but the power of just saying the same thing over and over again is incredibly effective.
Yeah, people love their dose of fear. Before that, it was a random terroristic act, and suddenly it changed. But people, they like their fear in the end. It's warm, it's comforting, and there is always someone to tell you what to do. And also, it's on a personal level, it's way easier to take the vaccine than to really take any action in your life. Like, if there is such a virus, and I'm clearly overweight and in bad shape, I might be having issues, yes. So it's easier to get the jab than to change your diet or for someone to have a more healthy lifestyle. It's easier to say, oh, I will take the jab and I will continue to gorge myself with terrible food and to drink and breathe poison each and every day. For those people, it's not much of a cost, really. The benefits outweigh the cost like 10 times.
apart from the fact there is no benefit, it's a detriment. I don't think there's any real doubt anymore that the jab is not anything other than harmful.
Oh yes, definitely.
Certainly not in my mind anyway.
Yeah, but we are also in the society of the more, you know, more this, more that, more, so... It's easier for people to add the vaccine to their life than to subtract something that is detrimental.
Okay. Yeah.
So in other words,
they got to do some math.
But I'm going to reinterpret what I thought you said, Benoit. Even if they do the math, they're going to say, oh yeah, it's still easier to take the jab and accept it that I've got a higher risk of dying than to not take it. It's just too difficult to resist. Is that really what you're saying?
Yeah, because they might lose their money, they might lose their house, they might lose something that they think they need.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big factor.
So yeah, that's, I think, is where it's at. All biblical stuff. What does a man gain if he gains a kingdom but loses his soul?
Yes, one of my favorite sentences in the Bible. That's exactly it. There's people that are trying to gain something and they don't realize that it's... we don't even know what it is in the end. No one can really say what the vaccine is. There is what the mainstream media are saying. There is what some scientific are saying. They are what some conspiracy-minded people are saying about graphene and all that, but no one really knows.
Have faith. Have faith.
And the data is not forthcoming.
The new religion. Yep.
Yeah.
By the way, for those listening at home or later on, the voice that you just heard was Linda Curtis, and we have now been joined by Purple Play and Videre, just so you know, for the clarity of the discussion.
I've always wondered, Vidya, are you French or a French Canadian or something?
I'm Canadian, but I do speak some French.
Is that why? And does Vidya mean something French?
It's Latin.
Ah.
And it means permitted to see.
Permitted to see.
Yeah.
Wow. Big claim.
Simon was telling me that I think Norwegians use it as a word like et cetera, or I think it's something like that. Not something like it, as a matter of fact, or can't remember the actual term,
okay.
But they use it like, yeah.
Thank you.
But that's
what's your vax experience like today?
What is my what experience?
Your vax experience like? How are you enjoying it so far?
Well, I just was listening to the ladies talk, and then my husband was listening, and then he starts telling me all of the crap that he's heard, and it's like I was, like, overloaded with crap. Here we are, it's just, like, too much crap. I mean, it's like it's all propaganda. Like, I was doing fine up until I heard everybody talk about what's in the news. I just like listening to Peggy Hall because she talks about solutions, and she continues to beat the drum of, we don't have to play their game. Like, that's the whole reason why they're making it such a strong argument, because it is voluntary.
It is voluntary.
And people are
volunteering.
Yeah, and people are volunteering left, right, and center and thinking that they have no choice.
Yeah, step off the game board. That's all you have to do.
Yep.
That was what, again, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what Benoit was saying. It just, people are just thinking, I just can't be bothered fighting this. Just can't
but
be bothered resisting.
This is what...
It's too difficult.
But that's why they keep telling you to take your mask off, put your mask on, step this way, don't step that way, go inside, can't go outside. You know, this is all part of the game. It's to wear you down. So then eventually you say, I'll just do what they tell me to do. That's the totalitarian takeover.
Yes, what do
they
say? It reminds me of something that that they were making us do in boot camp. It's called a reaction drill. So basically, the guy is yelling right, you run to the right. He's saying left, you run to the right, to the left. And after a while, you are tired, and you don't really register anymore. And that's the same thing that is happening. People are getting tired, and they don't really register. But I think that the only way to win, if there is a way to win in this thing, is just wait it out. If you wait, and if you wait
long
enough, the bad... Yeah. Yes.
They're going to get to their 90%, and then they're going to just ignore the rest.
I said this last year, that they were playing a game of Twister with us because they were social distancing us 6 feet apart, like the Twister game, and they're telling us where to move. It's unreal. They're telling us to stand on.
But that puts you in a state of hypnosis, too, when they make you stand 6 feet apart. You don't engage, and you kind of go off into a hypnotic kind of stare.
Well, you can't.
So there is technique to what they're doing.
Yeah.
So you're not engaged.
No.
So you just, it's like a hypnotic place that they put you in when they do that to you. Stand on the pebble and don't get too close. I always stand right in between. Oh, I wasn't looking at the ground. Oh, I'm sorry. And I just let them either scooch around me or wherever. I refuse to stand on those things. So, yeah, the more, Jan Erik was just talking earlier, and he was talking about how many hours that he's done in research, and my point was that, you know, the picture keeps growing, though, because it's like the more you keep reading, the more you put it all together, and the picture gets bigger and bigger, and you see the game for what it is, and it just becomes more apparent why they're doing what they're doing. Like, people think that it's, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know their left from their right. They know their left from their right. That's why they're doing what they're doing. They're making you tired. They're making, it's in conflict with your subconscious because you're trying to make sense of it all, and none of it makes sense. So therefore, it wears you out. You don't realize that your subconscious is constantly trying to figure it out, because we actually have this everything's okay, yeah, everything's okay kind of thing going on in our subconscious. And when they keep doing this, they keep changing the game, your subconscious is wearing out. And it's like trying to understand but they said we should do this last week, but now we have to do this week. And I don't know what, this conversation is going on in your head, even though you're not even aware of it.
Isn't that gaslighting?
Yes.
Yes.
And then they're isolating us like a like a bad boyfriend and telling us, and isolating us from our family and our friends. And don't.
Next, you're going to have a baby and you won't even know it. It'll be your brother or something.
Yeah, but gaslighting, that term.
We were talking about
funny.
That guy who locked a girl in the basement and gave her a baby.
Yeah,
and
yes. The Stockholm Syndrome. We're getting
that guy.
It's all psychological ops, right? It's they're doing a number. They're really doing a number on everybody. And
you just have to stay out of the storm.
Huh?
Just have to stay out of the storm.
Yeah.
Don't listen to it.
Yes, because then they want to stalk us because they want to find out what we're doing every minute of the day. So,
I think I just am going to get my religious exemption and then I'll find like-minded people and I'll move somewhere. I know you say we can't do that, but I look around. I don't think it's going to change that much outside except for the whole, I don't think they want to rip down all these corporations and what have you. I think they want life to just go on, but just, switch out the money system, switch out the work situation, get people hooked up to the vaccine, get them all hooked up to the cloud, and they'll be happy. Life as usual. Like, people think it's going to be this, I think they want it to be exactly the same way as it is, but everybody just hooked up to the cloud. Social credit.
Yeah. So you don't think there's any damage going to occur from the vaccine?
Oh, I think there's lots of damage that's going to occur. I think they overshot that one. But how do you mean, like, no damage?
So you do think, when you said everything's kind of going to be okay, I guess I've come to the conclusion that the vaccine is damaging, severely damaging. I get the impression from what you said that you don't necessarily think that's true.
No, I think what they're planning on, I think their goal is to get us all hooked up to the cloud and to get as many people into the poverty system so that they can bet on them, so that they'll have a new commodity, like the housing market. Like, that's the whole thing.
So
like
but we've always been a commodity to them.
But not this way. But now they can measure everything. Slavery, they couldn't, right? They couldn't. There was no money in it. Whereas now, there's money. And it's like you can bet, okay, let's change up his diet and see how far he gets. Let's give him a good credit score and then take it away and see where he goes. You know, all these different scenarios where people are going to have people in their portfolios. And they're going to be betting
on
their performance.
So it's a kind of never-ending story of Job thing.
Yeah. What do you think?
You're making it sound like fantasy football.
That's what it's going to be.
it's got a lot of descriptive power. I have to say, your idea.
Now, have you ever followed any of Alison McDowell's work?
Maybe without knowing. What's the particular model?
She was. She had her kids in school, and her husband worked, and she had a lot of time on her hands, and she was a lot like us. She just likes to research the shit out of everything. And she noticed strange things happening with schools. And then she started looking into who these funds belong to, like who was funding who and who sits on whose board. And basically she's got it all laid out, mapped out, like who's funding what and what their goals are and these various supposed nonprofits and how they're going to be assisting. But everything's meant to keep people in poverty because, you know, there's more money in poverty than there is in launching someone. So, but she linked everybody's LinkedIn profile to who sits on boards, she made a big map of where the money's flowing to. And there are all these, what do they call them? Those 502Cs or whatever they are, 501Cs. But they're
about
all
the religious, the churches.
501(c)(3)Cs?
Yeah, I think
they're
actually non-profits.
Non-profits.
And they're all looking into helping these poor people out of bad situations and whatever. So, but the more she looked into it, the more she sees that it's a commodity, that they are planning big things for this. And
you know,
see, now they've got, now they can, And actually, I found that they put nanoparticles in your food wrappers and probably also your food. But I have the, my dog grandma magnet that you can see. I posted those pictures. But it sticks to all this food. So I'm sure that they're going to be counting what food's in your fridge, what you're eating, how it's affecting your body, what your little sensors are saying inside your body. And it's all going to hook up to the cloud and keep reporting. So they've got all these measurable ways.
That's only if you get the refrigerator
to...
with the Bluetooth on it, though.
Well, yeah, they've got those smart meters, too, though, right?
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Naeem from Providence, Rhode Island, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
That was very smooth, wasn't it? He did that well.
So what do you think is going on? Have I missed the mark, and am I way off base, or what do you think?
I think your idea is very, very plausible. I'm sort of personally sort of going with the biblical model myself, which I don't think is a lot different to what you said.
No, you're right. I think that there's going to be some follow. I don't think they planned on this many deaths, or maybe they did,
well,
and that's why they've got it all cut off
from
each other.
There was a so-called deal.
Bill Gates came out and said 15% if they do a good job with vaccines. So I absolutely think they planned on this many deaths.
Yeah.
There was a site called Deagle that had
prediction
of population.
Like 75%. Right?
And
that's their dream, though. We could be more hardier than that. You know, they may have miscalculated, and or we may be stronger than they think.
Yeah, but I think the population is a farce as far as the numbers they give us. I think we're way less than that.
True.
I mean, so.
Absolutely, yeah. See, that's the thing, though. It's like, how can we even begin to figure this shit out? We everything they tell us is we have no idea if it's even valid or not.
We have to hypothesize just like they do with science.
Extrapolate it out from our own reality, I guess, our own circle of people. I guess that's
See,
the best.
You can't even dig out the phone book anymore.
To see who's still alive. Yeah,
to count, you know, at least households, right? But
you can go onto Google Earth. Like if you do I did a little thing where I watched that guy Jungle Surfer. He talked about this a while ago. And so I did the same experiment he did. I took a Google Earth image of near where I live and counted the houses and sort of made an estimate of how many people were in each household. And the numbers are completely different to the numbers given for population around here.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
so they were way over.
All of our house, a lot of the houses out here are empty. So that wouldn't work.
but it would tell you, even if you counted the number of houses, just assume they were at the average, I think you'd still find that they were way less than the numbers. And then when you add in the fact, as you say, that most of them are empty anyway, I think you'll end up with the same result as me. But it's worth a try to, you know, just try.
So how far off were they? How far off were they for their amount?
At least 100% overstated.
So you were going by the numbers that they gave you for like your county or your...
Yeah, so they say where I live there's, well, depending on what area you're talking about, but they say there's something like 250,000 in Greater Geelong and 350 in the Surf Coast and all that sort of stuff. But the numbers just don't work. It's even worse for Norway. Norway's ridiculous. Saying there's 5.5 million people or something there. Oslo might be a million, but struggling, and then the rest of it's just rats and mice. You know, you can't get anywhere near the numbers.
Yeah, and I think there's probably a million people in the world, because since the 1950s, when women were encouraged to go to work, people have been having less babies since then. I mean, you don't get families with 13 people. Or, you know, 13 kids, 9 kids, 10 kids, or whatever, you get one kid or two kids.
Mm.
So that basically tells you.
And there's a lot of infertility as well. There's a lot of couples.
Yeah, all of their vaccines.
And they're losing
the
babies.
Yeah.
So they're just, I mean, they're making it sound like there's so many of us, but there's not. They're decreasing population, but the population is choosing to decrease. You see what I mean? But
sure. And the illusion was given simply because of the post-war boom in children. And because those people are all still alive, well, in the large still alive, people think the population is still growing. But in Japan, it's just been radical
flat
depopulation there.
Well,
much
you know,
worse.
I can imagine. Even
well, they keep closing schools here, so it's like, you know, I keep seeing them tear down schools and they don't rebuild new schools, so people are having less kids. Because you
think, yeah,
but
I think
see more
China is,
schools coming up.
Yeah, but I think China is a whole lie. You see what I mean? Because they say there's so many people over there, but how many years have they been limited to one child?
And you know, when my boss went there and he took lots of pictures, and there's a lot of open land in China. A lot of open land.
Yeah.
So for all those billions and billions of people, maybe they just have them all.
It's not billions and billions.
Squished into one area.
Yeah.
It's just not true.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for me to believe that there's 350 million people in the USA having been there. And that just doesn't
And flying
sense.
Over it? Yeah, all of
yeah,
the land.
It's all empty,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all farmland. It's all, you know, well, it's solar farms now. They're putting them up everywhere here.
Is it?
Taking over the farmland, so it's unreal.
I think that that they are concentrating population in some areas and depleting some other. To give you an example, in Geneva, Switzerland, it's almost impossible to get an apartment or whatever place you want to have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just move 150 kilometers away, there are apartments, free apartments everywhere. So it's just a question of concentrating the population in certain areas.
Yeah, that's what I think they want to do.
Yep.
Give
everybody off that land.
Yeah.
Yep. Stack them and pack them. That's where we are.
Vidya, you were talking about
the
woman that you know having solutions. We're talking about someone that was solutions focused.
Yeah, her name is it's called BeFreeAmerican.org, and her name is Peggy Hall. She used to work
solutions.
She's married to a pastor, and she goes all around the country. She actually has a lot of forms that you can take off her site, and where you can take off forms for like religious exemptions, because she says you're better off not to go the medical route because it's more expensive, because you have to go see a doctor and then they could fight you on whatever, but nobody can fight you for your religion or your belief system, and you don't even have to belong to a religion, right? You just have to have that conviction that goes against everything and that's a law here. So she has the forms. She also has for your employer, if your employer is making you get the jab, which forms you can take to use to fight it.
I saw a thing called GAB or something. Is that similar? Helping U.S. servicemen get out of it.
Possibly, I'm not sure. But she's like one of the few people that I see that are actually offering solutions. And she's like a religious lady, but you don't have to be, you know, part of her clan, so to speak, or whatever. It's like just that no person should, she's more American than she is. I think she fancies herself a prepper kind of person, but she's, you know, I don't know, she just has too many pink lipsticks and she's like always well done. But she like films from her home and she's always sending notices where she's going to be at. She's around the area and you can go, like her husband holds beach meetings, like beach church sessions or whatever on the beach. But she speaks at like a restaurant or small business. She wants to educate. She's got forms that you can take to various places where it informs the businesses of their rights and what's real and what's not. She just has a lot of grassroots kind of stuff that you could actually take and use for your own area. You just kind of match them up to what laws are in place in your.
Yes.
But it's just educating people on what they can do. And she's got lots of people. Like she sends out, I think she does like maybe two or three videos a day where she's in front of her. And to me, she seems very legitimate. She doesn't seem like the controlled opposition, like the UN people.
Do you feel like putting a link to her site or what? The
show
notes?
Sure. And she also, like she'll get people to go to the LA County or Orange County, various town hall things that they have going on. Like, she had something this last Tuesday where they put two items on the docket for getting paid $20 for every person you've got a vaccine for all these different associations or whatever it was, whoever wanted to join to do that, and they would get paid for so many jabs or something like that. So she got all these people to show up there, and they took both of those items off the list.
Wow.
So, but she does have power. Yeah. And I see she gets a lot of hits every day, so she's growing. And, yeah, and she's got all the paperwork as far as, you know, when people tell you to put a mask on, it's like they're not a doctor. They don't have the, like you can file something.
Jurisdiction, yes.
Yeah,
and that's the same here. That's exactly the same here, by the way. Yeah. They're prescribing a treatment. So, they're not qualified to do that, yep.
Exactly. So she gives a lot of information like that, and she is just tirelessly doing this. And she does well. Like, you could tell her heart's in it. And I don't think she leads anyone through to crazy yet. I haven't seen that. And, I'm always one to go with, how does this make me feel? Like, those doctors, I know that they are, like, I did a little digging, and they're tied to the UN, all those doctors against whatever. And I noticed that they always go for the scare tactic, like they want to kill all these people. But yet nobody ever touches on, well, first of all, the whole thing with the virus thing, they talk like it's a real thing. But then also they never mention anything about hooking up everybody to the cloud and monitoring people. And all you have to do is look up biotech with graphene oxide. And they just think that's a wonder drug, you know, or that's going to help them. That's going to make them be able to diagnose illness and all this stuff. So in my heart, I know that's what they're putting in people. And I think that it doesn't necessarily go with a lot of people's systems. And it does make sense. Like, I think you can look at, if you put biotech and those terms, it's like they give you a lot of information in a roundabout sort of way, not necessarily dealing with their plandemic, but with what they're doing in medicine. And you can see how that's their plan.
The graphene on this side, I've researched this, and graphene is a form of graphite, which is lead, like a pencil.
Yes.
No.
And oxide is oxygen.
Yes. And so, they're also transmitters, receivers. Yeah. It's a different form of it. It's like when you put H2O, it's not oxygen anymore. It's water. They're two oxygens. But when you put hydrogen with it, it's like all of a sudden it turns to water. So
graphene
it's
a different
thing.
Graphene is a form of carbon, which is
carbon.
Yeah.
But when if you were to research it with biotech and graphene oxide, and you'll see a whole world of different uses for that carbon.
I understand. I understand all that because I've looked into all this. But as far as putting it into the body, it would probably just dissolve.
What they're doing with it right now. I did.
If you read about it, Linda,
you'll see what they're doing while they're putting that in people's bodies, and they're using it. Okay, I'm coming. My husband's feeling ignored, so I think I probably have to go soon. So I'll put those links in. Like, you know when you have a passion and they just don't share it, you know? But then he goes on about those stupid people on the radio station and how idiotic they are, and I just, like, my eyes roll. So
are you talking about your husband?
Yeah, we just he knows this is all fake and he gets right into it, but then he's like still not at the level we are because he's like still thinking that they're politicians and they're real people. Where was I going? Oh, that helped me.
It's very difficult to realize that The Matrix was a documentary, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You mean as far as, red pill, blue pill? Yeah.
Mm.
But you know what? I think this is a test for our humanity. In the way that because I'm learning a lot about myself because I don't have to save all these people because that's what I wanted to do. And I'm a teacher by nature, right? I've never worked as a teacher, but I do that all day long. I'm always telling people, educating people, helping people understand concepts going. So it's like it's in my nature. And so I'm learning that we just have to love them and realize that they want the scare thing. They want to live the adventure. They've been watching these scary movies for a long time, and they're for some reason their soul needs this major contrast to just get through, and that they have to just be okay with that. And And like I was telling, who was I telling yesterday? I think it was Forrest. I was just saying, you know, if we get ourselves to a point where we're just so positive about our own life and where things are at and where we focus and create our own reality, it's like that shit's going to come sliding down the hill, but we're going to be right behind a tree where it parts and it goes around us, and we'll be happy where we're at, you know? It's just, I think it is a mind thing, and it's working your mind out and getting to a higher place and learning to train your mind not to look at it, not to live in it, because the more you look and live in it, the more you see it, and then it becomes a reality. So
what world do you live in?
I live in a really good one. I work from home. I play with my dog, my son's dog, who's like really smart. He's like a chimpanzee, jumps 6 feet in the air, catches anything. He's like one of those Belgian Malinois. So it's like he looks at you and he wants to know the words that you're saying. So you have to make it really simple and speak his language. I'm learning that too.
Came across a guy that said the way to talk to a dog is to hold the image in your head.
Oh, really? I'll try that.
Tried it a few times.
He does sign language. Like I can just twist my hand and twist it around.
Yeah.
I take the fist and twist it around. He sits. I can point to the ground and then he'll lay down. I can throw something and tell him to wait. I can tell him to bite something. He knows to bite. He's just learned toy box. So he's got this big bucket of balls in the backyard that I tell him, go get a search. Like he knows how to search. So you say search ball, toy box. And he knows that. Like, well, you have to use only single words and don't use any other. But he is so smart. I've never seen a dog like that. You know, I always had a dumb dog.
Yeah. I've got a smart, well, we've got a very smart dog, and it's been really a revelation to me to see how bright they are.
They have these boxes. I think they're called bunny boxes. Are they called a bunny box? Where it's like a push button. So it's like a big push button phone for them, and they can tell you.
This is Without a Trace.
Rochello.
Willu.
Henry.
Zulo.
Rublet.
SMG.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Hey, where's the live stream notes?
There is a thing, a second from the top called live stream notes.
Second from the top. Oh, there it is. You can. It's like a push button telephone for dogs where they can tell you what they're thinking. They push the button based on what it is that they want to tell you. So it's like they want to go to the park. Like he knows the word park. He knows the word ride. Or like I'll be out there playing with him and I'll say, take a break,
amazing.
Take a break. And it's like he catches the ball and walks right past me into the house because he knows that we're done. Take a break. So, and I think I like being there because it's like he's in the moment, and that's my goal. I think that's where our
power is. Who's in charge? You or the dog?
My son thinks it's him because I'm always in the doghouse for, you know, I break the rules because my son's the dog trainer, right? And I comply, but then I kind of break the rules sometimes. So, but I'm a grandma, I'm supposed to, right? Okay, I should take my grandma thing and see if what's magnetized. Oh, look at it. It's stuck to the Reese's peanut butter cup. It's the packaging. If you look up graphene oxide and Reese's food packaging, like why would they put that in food packaging? Why would they put magnetic shit in food packaging?
Pick it up while they're packaging it.
Oh, do you want me to show you this?
Why not?
Okay, where is it here? Or is it in me and it feeds through? No, okay. Okay, I'll put that right there and take a picture of it. This is my grandma, my dog magnet, my dog grandma thing here. There. Okay, so let me, so this is a magnet that goes on the back of a car. I don't know if it's different than your average magnet, but look at that. Doesn't that just freak you out? I think it's the food. Okay, how do they do that?
It's amazing.
You look at the live stream notes?
Dog grandma.
Yeah.
Got a dog grandma.
So it's like I like going through all my... Oh, there is how to this too. Yeah, look at that.
But what is it? What peanut butter what? Is it peanut butter crackers or just peanut butter?
Or no, the peanut butter and chocolate. Like Reese's peanut butter. Look at this one. Hold on. Take another one.
I'll tell you what a thing struck me now. It's interesting how Everyone has the same kitchen these days.
This is a kitchen
on my
boat.
The things you've got in your kitchen. On your boat?
Oh, really?
Or is it?
It's my boat.
You said that's a kitchen on your boat. That's your boat.
Mm-hmm. That's my boat.
What sort of...
Okay.
You're on a houseboat.
Yeah.
It's her yacht.
Fantastic. Nice.
Where are you?
One of the seven seas you're sailing?
Long Beach. Nice. See, this is my weekend home. Here, let me take a picture. Oh, nice stuff in the sky. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, yeah, dog grandma. Yeah, so that's my, like I found
it. Does the dog like being on the boat?
Oh, yeah. They were on last weekend. We went down to Catalina, and we left my son and his girlfriend on the boat with their dog. He loves sitting out there because we have a blue light off the back, and at night it actually, he can watch the fish. So he sits there and he watches the fish swim around underneath in the blue light. Here, maybe I'll show you. Let me get a picture of him.
Justin.
I got some where he plays. It's like he plays pinball in the kitchen and in the fridge area in the boat.
Are they there right now, are they, Linda? Dear?
Masks are used for diving.
Yeah. No. They're not here.
Okay. You're a scuba diver as well, are you?
I'm not. My husband is. But I did get a mask. I got a mask, and my husband was just telling me I should wear it. Should I take it? Okay, let me take a picture. Actually, I should take one. I'll send him the one I took of Mardell.
Here, I'll put it on. You take a picture.
No. That's too funny. Here, let me take. I'll send you a picture of the one I took over the weekend. Hold on.
All right, I've seen those. Are they any good?
Yeah, they cover your whole face.
Yeah. That looks a bit much.
How deep can you go down?
That's my neighbor. She was, that's when we were at Catalina. Isn't the water beautiful?
Mm.
But,
she had
snorkeling, because it's only got that little wand on the top.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, here, it looks like a Teletubby.
I'll take a picture of this. Hold
looks
on,
like
I'll
a
take
Teletubby.
Mine. There, I just got one, so let me get it here. There's a stupid live stream notes. Okay, here it is. Let me share that. Mine's a blue one. But see the little thing on the top, however deep you can. So it's basically to put your face in the water and to see.
Okay. For some reason, I thought they let you go down a bit deeper.
Yeah, you can't go. Yeah. You can't go any deeper than the top of that thing, right? Because that's the snorkel.
Well, I think you can. Well, my husband will be able to tell you. He's got. I think
must
they blow that
to.
Out because he dives like 10 and 20 feet
with that thing.
And he free dives not with that, with his own regular stuff, but he just blows it out when he comes back up.
Yeah, well, yeah, a regular snorkel you can blow out, but I'm just saying if you. That thing on the top of your head, is that where the air comes?
Yeah, it's like a...
So you got to blow the air all the way up.
It's got like a little bubble thing on it. Look at that. Hold on just a second.
That's weird. But you breathe through your nose or no?
It's got like a little bubble thing that must go up and down when you're breathing or something where it keeps the air out or I don't know. Or it keeps the water out. Yeah. People are going to look at these notes and go, what the heck? Looks like a device of some sort.
Yeah. I think they can operate as a normal snorkel, but it's supposed to be better, like a full face mask or something.
Yeah, so you're not like pinched off and you don't have to, like my husband, he always has to Vaseline his face up. I don't think you have to do that with this. So. But he was gorgeous out there and the water was so nice and warm.
Mm.
I like that purple. Yeah. We had fun.
Yes, I love Catalina. I would go back there in a heartbeat. So you guys rode the boat in your boat to Catalina?
No, we went in theirs.
Oh, okay.
We went in theirs, and like she called me the night before and said, hey, you want to go? And so we packed up, and we were ready to go. So we left at like 7 in the morning. It was like, oh, my God, and I was like turning green on the way there. But then it was a smooth ride coming back because we left at 6 in the morning. That's the best time to drive there and back. Because if you wait too late, then you get the waves, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that there's some treacherous seas.
The big waves are good. It's the little ones that get you. I think the big ones, you can kind of ride them like you're riding a horse, kind of. But the little ones, they make you sick.
Yeah, I used to get seasick on the way to Catalina. Depending on the size of the boat, though, was it a big boat?
Yeah, there's like a 40-foot.
Yeah, it's a big boat.
That's big enough, yeah.
And we're on the small side. The ones across the way are big.
Yeah.
Is it big enough to ride out the apocalypse in? That's all we need to know.
Yeah, we're going to get all our little docks and chain them all together.
Yeah.
Like our docks here, we're all friends, right? So we're all going to go out together. And we'll make our own island.
Last hurrah.
You can make it to Mexico for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the bit of Mexico you want to go is on the other side of USA, isn't it?
Baja. You want to go to Baja, which is right down the coast.
Baja's a very famous salt-making area, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Actually, the Sea of Cortez is really salty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very big
that's on the inside
salt production
of Baja.
Area. One of the largest in the world.
Have you ever been there, Frank?
I haven't, no. I haven't been to that. I'd love to go because it's just so huge. I've been
awesome.
To the USA. To the USA.
You know,
if you're a diver, it's good diving down there, too.
Believe it. Just looks spectacular.
Do you know, Purple has actually been on my boat down here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Only once. Oh, and we didn't go anywhere. So that's why I say she's got to get me to Mexico for sure.
She had family business here.
I thought you could walk there from California. So you could walk to Mexico.
You can if you're in San Diego, but we're a few hours away from San Diego. Like,
and it's like
2-3 hours from Mexico, right?
I'm like, well, it takes you probably, well, it's 2 hours to San Diego. To the Mexican border, it's probably 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Now that you're talking about it, you know how they have all this stuff about building fences on the Mexican border?
Yeah, it was to keep people in, not to keep them out.
It goes all the way down, though, to Texas, which is, like, you know, another...
But the only question I've got is, you know, all you need to do is go and jump in a boat. And, you know, you can land anywhere on the U.S. coast. How is the wall going to work?
Well, they actually have them patrolling the ocean, because actually my husband sent me pictures from behind the shopping center here. They had a whole bunch of immigrants piling off of this boat, illegal immigrants that had ridden this boat up to here, and this is like they got off at the boat rental station behind the shopping center. And
how many would they catch compared to the number that got through, really? I mean, you can't,
true.
You know, the whole thing just is, in my mind, the idea that you can block off
somebody
the Mexican border.
Somebody was saying last weekend that Catalina was so corrupt that they had, that was the way to get in. They take the ferry, they'd go there, and then they'd take the ferry over. So they would be shipping illegals onto the island over there. And then that's like a 26 miles across.
Yeah, I just think it's intriguing that everyone focuses on the, you know, the land border when it'd be far easier to go by boat anyway. It's just mad, the idea that you can stop it.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing that's going on now. It's like they want you to believe in this mind prison when it's the reality on the outside of it all is totally different.
I'm sure they orchestrate it all. I'm convinced that they don't have a problem with these people coming in because it serves some purpose,
exactly.
Obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah,
they're the ones that probably hire most of them.
Yeah, actually, yeah, the employers bring them in for sure. All, like I said, it goes all the way to Texas, so there's, you know, a lot of plants in Texas that use those people for, it's there for a purpose, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're probably all the, America was set up by the Europeans a long time ago, I'm sure, and how it was going to operate, and, you know, everything was clearly laid out a long time ago. This country's going to have this purpose. This country's going to have this purpose.
The Chinese have been coming over for a long time, too, which they came over on boats, too, and everybody's always complaining about them, and it's like, okay, that happened like magic, too. Like, there was no border for them to walk over. They came by airplane. They came by boat. So, and I guess you could say from Canada, too, when they, there's a big, in Vancouver is fairly... Integrated, immigrated, I guess you could say.
Yes, yeah.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Just too big a border to police, and the sea border, and just doesn't. It's just another population myth, isn't it?
So what's happening down there in the Aussie land?
Just found out that another Australian state has, and this is a place called Queensland, which has got no reason. They've got no. It's a tropical climate.
Right.
So there'll be no flu there anyway. So the whole idea that, because I've got these cases, I keep going on about the PCR test, and it's frustrating, isn't it, how stupid it all is.
Right.
People are prepared to accept it.
Did you see that thing about the PCR test is going to get phased out? I don't know what they're going to use next, but kind of a strange thing.
Well, there is a thing called, I'll think of it soon. A fellow called Ivor Cummins talks about it all the time. Another test.
Well, yeah, it sounds like they've got some sort of other method in the work, because they made mention of it, that they're giving them 6 months to work it in somehow and phase out the PCR test. So who knows what.
Right.
But fresh horror that will be.
One test fits all.
Hopefully it's not the a more invasive one, let's put it that way.
Is there something like this with commercial laws that you say I'd be very open to utilizing your test, but you have to first prove to me what exactly it does, and I would like the documents to show how and why.
How many cycles you've used, and yeah. Can you prove that the virus exists?
Like
We need to go back to the virus original and just like, come on.
Well, I think that you can't in commercial law, you can't deny them, but you have to say, okay, I'll do this, but you have to prove to me how
that's
this was done. And
acceptance.
And then,
yep.
And then when they can't.
That's how I wrote my letter to my Prime Minister on that basis.
Uh-huh.
I'll take your vaccination on the basis that you prove.
Prove it.
I should post the letter. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that if you mandate it, that you'll indemnify me for $50 million and all that sort of stuff.
And if it turns out to cause harm, that you will be liable for all of the.
You'll be surprised to find out. You'll be surprised to find out that he wouldn't sign that affidavit.
Mm-hmm. Of course
and,
he would.
Then he sent me a letter back saying, oh, yeah, but it's not going to be compulsory anyway. Until it is, of course.
Right.
Well, yeah, they're going to hedge their bets as long as they can until it's...
But it can't be compulsory because there are people that are known to die. So it's like a sentence of death.
Yeah, but it'll
for people.
Only be compulsory to those who believe in it and take it. That's the whole thing.
But for those people that, you know, they had their first dose and they had a life-threatening reaction, you're going to make them take it? Like, that's basically opening up
to
yourself.
Yeah, but they won't make them take it. They choose to take it. That's what I'm saying. That's why they can get away with the words they use, because people are choosing to take it.
Mm.
Well,
sure,
but when you can't work here anymore, you can't come into the store anymore.
Even then, you can if you understand what to do by writing.
You're
conditionally accepting.
Know, but no, most people don't know that they can do this.
Most people
and that's
think.
And that's the forms that Peggy gives to... Let these people know that when they're taking these actions against you, that there are liabilities for them. So you're making them aware of them.
Yeah,
and
but it comes down to spending for yourself. You can't save the others.
Right.
I'm talking about myself to go present that to a business owner and say, look, if you don't allow me entrance to your business, this is against the law.
Yeah.
Are you willing to accept the punishment that goes with that?
Yeah, but I mean, you could just say, are you willing to starve an individual? Is that
part
of your job?
No, the whole thing is that you have to look at it like it's there. What's in it for them? And that's where their focus is going to be. If it means that they're going to have to pay a lot of money because they're taking a misstep, then they may think things out. I wish, that, you know, it really makes you aware of how many people have no idea what the law is. They don't even hire lawyers. Or actually, the lawyers don't even know, or they don't even take.
I don't think the lawyers even know either. Some of them.
Yeah, but who has money to hire lawyers?
If you're in business, and you are, and actually, you know what? I was driving up the freeway and I noticed they have this huge sign for an accident attorney or injury attorney. So I think we're going to see a lot of those. There are probably a lot of them making lots of money. Filing their case.
Yeah, but I think this will come down to 10 years from now, that all the lawyers will come out of the woodwork and say, were you injured by the vaccine, like they do every other drug?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it'll be too late, you know what I mean? And most people don't have the money to file lawsuits and, you know, do what it takes to get compensated or whatever. But it's not about money. It's about freedom. So everybody's missing the whole point anyway.
I think eventually word will get out. Like, I think more people will be apt to start, because I know there are a lot of people that are taking her forms and just dropping on the doorsteps of businesses. And I know as a small business, I would be saying to myself, you know, what could potentially happen. But see, most people aren't think outside the box. They think that if they're writing a ticket, that means they're going to get a ticket because somebody would have said something. They don't realize that there are no laws. They don't realize that a governor can't make a law. We have lawmaking bodies that make laws. It's like the only authority he has is over his executive branch, and he has no authority over the rest of us to pass a law or a mandate. He only has the authority to mandate to his executive branch and his employees only. He has no authority to mandate to the state. And all these what do they call them, regulating, or these companies from the regulating people that are ensuring these regulations are recommended, whatever, the UN place. Regulating bodies, they're only there to ensure that the laws are actually being followed. They're not there to create new laws like they are right now. So it's all twisted. They have no grounds to create all these. And that's why they keep saying the guidance. This is a guidance document. It doesn't mean anything. But these people are too sad to not see it. And I think there is something broken with us.
Who do you think it is?
You know, I took a huge financial company to court twice, and I won both cases. And most people just lay down and take it, just because their case was based on hearsay. So nobody would think, because you think, oh, they pay all those big lawyers. But when you start, like, I took the case just to stave them off for a while. But when I started studying, it's like, oh, my God, they don't even have a case. And this is all just to scare people so they can take money from them. So when you learn that nothing is always that, you know, it's not always as it appears. Most people don't get to that point, right? I was denied for a medical procedure, too, way back when. Okay, I'm coming. I was denied for a medical procedure years ago, and then I realized the game with that was that they refuse everyone. So everyone goes away, and a few come back, and then they refuse those people, and then fewer people come back because they know the law, and then they only had to pay so many procedures. So they win, and that's how the game is played. You know, it's not because it's right. It's because they know that they can play the numbers. But there's so many, I guess, having those life experiences and then waking up to this.
Morning.
Hey, Pepper.
So you were just talking about lawyers, and there was this guy,
yeah.
I don't know how true it is, but there's this one lawyer, his name is Brian Sesta, and he's at this website I just posted on the live stream notes. And he's supposedly doing medical freedom, and he's fighting cases pro bono.
Well, yeah, because I think that there is, and I think there are a lot of lawyers that are, but actually if you go to Peggy Hall's site, she gives you the forms as well. Because it's like if people just wake up.
Where have all these lawyers been all this time, for crying out loud?
Exactly.
Time that they got organized, because I have been seeing a lot more lawyers coming out too, yeah, that have some sort
of... But then it's like you don't know whether you trust them, because it's like we have that, you know, somebody's taking care of it kind of thing.
Right. But I've seen some of them say things like, oh, you know, you can only take this so far, blah, 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 you know, and they're kind of... I've seen some that are trying to be gatekeepers, but, you know, you got to know. I think you got to pretty much read up on the stuff yourself, because having a lawyer to represent you,
you know,
is
Peggy has
giving
so
your
much
own
information.
Power. Yeah.
You could sit through hours of her and she's got every kind of thing covered in every which way. And she's got a lot of legal people helping. She's actually suing she's taking the Orange County supervisors to court as well.
Yeah. Well, she's been on their butt this whole time and she has had success, but you know, they keep, you know, pulling their shit out of their hat and you just got to keep going back and tell them, no, you can't do this. And, you know, it's a fight. It's definitely a fight, but.
But I was watching that, the Global Reset in 5 minutes. And when I saw Prince Charles talking about how we got this small window to get this done and it may never come again. We may never get the opportunity to do it again.
So what do you think that window is?
It's right now. They want to get this done, the whole vaccination thing done. And he knows that time is limited because people are all going to wake up and they're going to revolt. So you've got to get in there and do it fast.
For sure. So.
But just like he said, that they won't have the opportunity to do it again, that just gave me lots of hope.
Well, that's comforting. I mean, a little bit of encouragement. And I think people are finally getting upset. I've been seeing, you know, some more people jumping on to, because I've been on so many Telegram channels and I have a Discord site that, you know, and I've been jumping off of them because every time, you know, people just flood onto it and then there's just so many messages. Like I get stuck reading all this stuff and I'm wasting, you know, wasting time, I'm taking a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, my party awaits, so I guess I should go for now. I love you guys, man.
We love
like
you.
You're like my little slice of sanity, insanity, all at the same time, right?
Hopefully you're going to have some dinner guests that are agreeable, or you don't have to shut your mouth.
Well, I can't be myself exactly with them, but it's like I can say, they just think I'm a crazy person, so I don't care.
Yeah.
But then, you know what's funny? What's really funny is that I don't know if she really took the jab, but she said she took the jab. But, and I said to her about her daughter, I said, well, how can you, what about your daughter? You know, doesn't she plan on having kids? And oh no, well, they're too smart for that. She's not going to get the vaccine. And I was thinking, what does that say about you? You know, if she's too smart, then you're doing this for the wrong team.
Smart.
So I can't figure them out.
They have no idea what they're doing.
You know, I think in some way they do, but they don't want to say it. Because like I said, you know, a few doors down, somebody got Bell's palsy, and then her husband has been, he was really sick. And I don't know if life doesn't quite go back to normal after. Because like I said, my sister-in-law, she gets these mean headaches. Like she's never had headaches before. Like almost she blacks out.
Oh,
so,
that's like, wow.
So I, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of people going through things that don't necessarily share because they're either, they don't want to bring everybody down or they're too embarrassed to say I made the wrong decision. But
yeah, that's, unfortunately, everyone's going to have to deal with it at some point. So.
Because everybody thinks, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that I think everybody just believes that they're experts on this. They've gone through this all these months, and they've learned whatever mainstream media has thrown at them, and they're experts. They're like, they know exactly what they have to do and what everyone else has to do.
Right.
When they have no idea.
Right. But the good news with that is maybe people will figure it out that they have to be responsible for themselves, and we won't ever revisit this nonsense again. I mean, that's pie in the sky, I know, but in certain respects, that is a spiritual test, right? To figure out nobody's going to come save you. You got to save yourself, basically.
But they also say to be very careful of this side of the fence, too, because it gets you chasing crazy, too. So you're just on, you're being manipulated by them as well. Because I know I got on that train, the crazy train of trying to figure it all out and madly reading through lots of different things.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know exactly the full extent of all of it. So yeah, we are a bit crazy.
And that's where they say, don't play the game. Just step away from the game table. Because then we don't argue with them. We don't argue with the crazy people that watch TV. And we don't become the crazy people that are truth seekers looking through disinfo.
Yep, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, step away.
Mm-hmm. Don't engage.
Yes, I'm obsessed. It's almost like I don't want to step away. I just keep putting more chips on the table.
It's like you're safety seeking, though. It's like you're trying to find out if you're going to be okay.
That's a very pithy observation.
Yeah, you're searching for Jesus in your own way.
No, it's like being betrayed, and you're trying to find, like your mind's trying to make sense of it all, and it's like it's not.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value-for-value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
I think it makes sense to keep searching until you do find peace of mind.
Right, but it's also to be aware of what you're doing. Because when you are, you could say, you know what, I need some sanity, I need to step away from this, and I need to realize what's real in my life, and your power is in the moment. So, you know, because all these people are getting caught up in the future, and they're getting caught up in the past, and they're not really living. So you're here to live, and
the best way
to do that is to get out and to be your best self, and to... Because we don't realize that we do have power there and we do have a vibration. And the more we get into our positive self, they can't touch us. And as much as people think that that's crazy stuff, that's what they want us to think. That's why they spend so much money on keeping our vibration really low with fear. Because they know that together and in a positive light, we would be so much more powerful than them. And I always say that it's like they keep us in the cold storage like potatoes. You know, keep them in a low vibration and full of fear.
In fairness, Linda, you've got to that point, having gone through all the things that Pepper was talking about, though. And if he's still in the place where he wants to keep putting it out there, well, I think you've got to go through that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that any of that doesn't add value to your life. I'm just, when you're aware of it, it's like you don't get lost in the middle of it, and you can step away.
It's a painful crime, though, isn't it? It's a painful crime.
No, I think she makes a very good point, because I think I'm better off, and I feel a lot better when I am living in the present, when I'm not thinking about what we went through, and I'm like, how am I going to go through what's coming? Like, well, I'm just doing something for my dog, or just...
Yep.
Something for myself, like I just came back from an hour and a half of exercise with some really good friends that supported me.
In my case, I don't complain about the karaoke bar not being open. I just enjoy it when it is open.
But the key to it, too, is that once you realize the different vibrations, gratitude is like the highest vibration. So our best, because this is a mind war, it's not about changing the externals. And a lot of times I think, okay, I got to beat the pavement and go tell everyone or whatever. And no, it's not about that. It's about the mind war. So you have to get to a point where you have the highest vibration, and gratitude is right up there at the top. So the more you can feel those emotions, the more this shit fades away. Pardon my language. So, yeah.
Quite simple.
That's my escape, yeah.
That's cool. We should have a karaoke live stream or something like that.
That'd be fun.
I just don't think it's very nice for everyone else that has to suffer the karaoke live stream. I must admit, I'm down with that. I've kind of avoided doing karaoke on live
stream.
Oh, come
on, Frank. We love it.
Yeah, but I've kind of avoided it because it's, you know, the people that I do go karaoke with, they want to do it on live stream. And I just think it's just...
Now I kind of want to hear you, everybody wants to rule the world. Sorry. This was the first thing that came to mind. I want to hear you sing that song.
Yeah, yeah. Someone sang it. That's nice. It's actually a really great song, isn't it?
First sentence.
Yep. All right, I'll practice. I'll come back next time for sure.
Fakeologist karaoke.
Yeah.
That would be great to record, though.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
I think you all have a very a different view of greatness to me, but that's okay.
Are you... if people don't want to hear it, then they just don't listen, right?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, I think that's, you know, if we give a little warning, hey, Frank's going to do some karaoke, they can turn it off if they don't want to hear it.
No, I don't think it's karaoke if it's only me that does it.
Exactly.
No, we all have to.
I will partake, even if it rates some people's ear. I will volunteer my soul.
Okay, well, Flagenhurst, you have now volunteered. Let's hear your rendition of Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
We've got lots of musicians.
You lead, and we will follow.
Now?
Yeah, why not?
But karaoke has a
backing
track.
This is where I take my accent.
Like, this. If you figure out how to use the music box to play a fucking backing track,
I can do that. Are you ready? I'm going to put backing track
I'm
for
coming.
Everybody in the world.
Yeah, I am right now. Yeah, I'm coming right
You're
now.
You're doing it already. Okay, great. Okay, everybody. World first, Flugenhurst is going to sing Everybody Wants to Rule
Flugenhurst.
The World.
Okay, I'll maybe listen, but I'm going to start partying with my friends. So
don't talk
I'll
to
say
people
goodnight.
For no purpose.
Enjoy, my dear.
Okay, I'll see you in a bit.
I'm going to mute and listen in on this.
I can't believe this is happening. Jesus fucking Christ.
It's karaoke Friday night.
Put it on? Did someone put it on?
You're going to have to draw the bot in. For all of us to hear it.
You can't do it without music?
Well,
I found the hit. Now I'm going to get the...
You gotta
it
bring
is not
in the...
karaoke if you do a cappella.
Fred
okay,
Bolt.
Here we go.
No, bring in the bot. We can't do a cappella.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Is Purple going to do it? Is it me? I don't know.
It's you.
God, I don't know how long the intro lasts.
So proud of the magic.
Bye. think there was...
That was our first experiment in karaoke. I thought it was highly successful.
It's a good song. It was a good song. I enjoyed it.
Just been looking at the lyrics. Pretty good, aren't they?
I hope you didn't butcher it too much.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of my favorite...
Welcome to your life. There's no turning back. Even while we sleep, we will find you.
Yeah, I personally always thought it was based on 1984, like the whole concept of it.
I think you must be right.
That's lyrics why I like
pretty,
it too.
Pretty revealing, aren't they? Most
life
of freedom
from the
and
chair.
Of pleasure. Nothing ever lasts forever. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Love it.
I wouldn't have suggested it if I didn't think it was like worthwhile for this server.
It's too good though, really, isn't it, Flegenhirsch? How are we gonna beat it? I can't stand this indecision. Married with the lack of vision. Everybody wants to rule the amazing.
We didn't let it get to get their part, but it's like very long intermission. I hated that with songs that did when I did karaoke. Like I used to do Singing in the Rain, and there's like this almost 2 minute part where it's just music. He's just standing there like, oh God, people are judging me.
Why believe it?
Yeah. I think really most of these songs, like, you know, they are obviously nearly all of the ones that become very famous are about spiritual things, aren't they?
Yes. Yes, I have a good one. Gold on the Ceiling.
Gold on the Ceiling.
Did you listen to that Purple Play?
She's gone. Hasn't she gone to play with... Oh.
I heard
what
it.
Think?
It's a good song, but I'd never heard it before, so I don't know the words. And I'm not a singer at all.
Yeah, you should listen
I'm not
to
drunk
that. Gold.
Tonight, for sure.
Yeah, Gold on the Ceiling is about taking our minds. I mean, it's obvious. That's the goal they're looking for. Not monetary value. It's the mind.
Well, there's always the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
Oh, like the
there you go.
Was it by Tool Sober was basically all about that we have to be sedated to even take this.
Yep.
Why can't we not be sober?
I have to say, last night at the karaoke that I went to, then just a couple of minutes of people starting to sing, all the mask mandates were just totally ignored. People at the pub didn't care.
Well, how can you do karaoke with a mask?
It's not just... You're allowed to take your mask off while you sing, while you eat, but when you get up, you're supposed to put your mask on, and people do that for a while.
But then they don't give a fuck after a while.
And then within a very short time, all of that was forgotten, and that to me was the magic of karaoke last night.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what?
It's stupid.
There was an experiment years and years ago where they did, it was like a doctor's office, and they rang a bell, and people were standing up. But they were all...
Saw that.
Yeah. And then after a while, the person that didn't know anything about the bell started standing up.
Yes. But that works the same way in reality to be positive.
So that's why we all got the shot. We're just...
So if everybody takes off their mask and sing karaoke, everybody's going to follow because that's what they
do. So it's a karaoke-led revolution. I'm participating in a revolution.
Yes.
That's why they didn't let
people
be together.
But people
are
following.
They couldn't make groups because they knew we would all get together and say, screw it.
Yeah, but the thing is, half the people in the karaoke are just following what everybody else is doing, not that they believe in it. You see what I mean?
Of course, that's a sad thing.
It's the follow me leader thing or whatever.
And I guess really, they don't think it's doing them any harm. They realize that, you know, the breathing through a mask is giving them these hacking coughs that they get, and they don't connect it.
I'm sure they still...
Well, my wife's developed a hacking cough since she started wearing the mask, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I keep saying to her, oh, yeah, that's interesting, you've got that cough lately. She's not going to bite.
She's not made the connection, huh?
She has made the connection, but she's not going to bite. She won't engage with me on that topic.
I had a very terrible thought the other day, if I might share it.
It's not going to make me cry, is it?
No, it's a lot of energy is that some people that think a lot, the brain is taking up a lot of energy. And I've heard so many people saying, oh, the mask doesn't bother me at all because I'm just sitting or standing. I'm not doing anything. And I always feel like I breathe a lot through that thing. And I hate the breath getting all over my face through the edges of the mask. And I started to think maybe the people who aren't bothered by that aren't thinking, because
well,
it's one of the most energy expensive things that your body does is your brain being active.
If you're mind inactive, control,
then
nobody thinking, just doing whatever they're programmed to do,
like robots.
Right. That's what mind control is.
If you don't think, you see this with meditation, how the brain energy goes to a minimum when you meditate. And I guess someone who doesn't think at all spends less energy and therefore respirates less, you know? Like, it doesn't bother them because they're not doing anything while they're sitting in the bus, while I'm thinking all my thoughts.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Agreed.
Everything. All my thoughts.
Even the terrible ones where I'm ashamed that I think those things.
Yeah, you don't
Jesus
have to
forgives
do physical
you
labor.
Yeah,
but you don't have to do physical
is,
labor to get, I mean, like people that work in, you know, very high multitasking brain work jobs, they're really tired when they get home.
Yes, there is
you can break a sweat working on a program and things aren't working, they have a tight deadline, you start sweating. I mean, that's stress, but it's also brain activity.
Yes, yes, which causes all kinds of activity in your body, like your heart, your blood pressure, you know, all the things that go on in your body.
It's the virtual reality thing, isn't it? The virtual reality.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, people live that.
Also,
presumably the next.
I'm more angry when I wear the mask because I'm like, why the fuck can't I be on this bus without wearing this mask? Therefore, my blood pressure probably rises.
No, you can.
Oh, they will kick me off. I've seen people kicked off the bus for not wearing it.
That's surprising.
I guess you're living
in Norway?
No, I'm Switzerland.
I'm really surprised it happens in Switzerland.
LXG33.
I'm Rachel.
Konoku.
I'm Original Simulant.
Robbie Parker.
This is O'Hallahan.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
I know, I've been on buses where the bus driver refused to start driving and told people to get off the bus.
Oh, he's really exceeded his authority, without a doubt.
Of course, but people follow that authority even though he doesn't have it. I mean, technically he does have it because he can refuse to drive.
Yeah, but somebody could beat him up and drive for him. I mean, that's always an option, right?
It's an escalation, and I don't disagree with doing that, but you know what I mean. People are cowardly, and I don't know how to drive a bus.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't know the first thing myself. And then it's like a capital offense or something to beat up a bus driver.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be awesome, though, to actually kick off the mask wearers and everybody else stay on and somebody drive the bus and be like, I mean...
It's a bit belligerent, isn't it?
It's just too much of a direct risk to your own self.
I agree with you.
And I
belligerent
was just,
behavior.
We know
you're just, you know.
In theory, that would be an awesome situation, but in practice, you don't want to risk jail time or shit like that.
That's what we're falling into, right? I mean, if we just don't let it roll off of us. I mean, I know that we have to fight back at some point.
That's true.
This is what they want. They want that fighting back sooner than later because then they'll know who they're playing with.
Yes, I think a lot of this stuff is to generate, civil disobedience so then they can clear martial law.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine the backlash of something like that? It would be martial law. It would be like, okay, you know, now you're not allowed on the bus unless there's a military person there with a gun letting you on the bus, right? Think of the backlash of something like that, or those 10 minutes of glory that we'd have. And then we couldn't get on the bus again unless there was, you know, military intervention.
Strategically, it would be a bad idea because it would justify.
I have to say, though,
to the uninformed masses, it would justify further measures, and that's the conundrum where I don't really know what to do, because like when you fight back in a way that feels right.
I have to say that here,
yeah.
And you are completely able to claim a medical exemption. I go to places without a mask now all the time. Last night I went to the pub without a mask. My wife complained, but I went anyway.
This has actually become more prominent in the last couple of weeks.
Because you can claim an exemption for medical grounds. Boys were able to, by the way.
I've been seeing more and more people without the mask, even in stores, and the media pretends like this is because these people are probably vaccinated. And I'm thinking it's probably because these people just think, I can get away with it without anyone complaining, which is good. I'm a coward myself. I can't afford to have any trouble. I don't have the money to fight back legally if someone actually took me to task, if you know what I mean.
It's about your skill level in the end. If you don't feel comfortable with it, I certainly wouldn't recommend anyone do it unless they feel uncomfortable.
I'd encourage anyone who has, like, I don't want to say the balls, but the means to try. Because we need as many people to go around maskless where they demand masks as possible. That's how we, in Switzerland, we got rid of the mask mandate in outside eating. Because no one was following the mandate, and then the government said, okay, people didn't follow our rules. So we lifted those rules. That's the way to go. Civil disobedience, maybe unintentional, I don't know, but that's the only way you can prevent those measures.
In fairness, the medical exemption applies to everybody, because when you wear a mask, your carbon dioxide levels will build up to an unhealthy level in your body. So you are completely correct when you claim medical exemption on the basis of harm.
Is there anybody know of any progress on the that lawyer in Germany who's doing the Nuremberg trial or whatever?
I don't know of any.
Got any information on that?
Reinick
Holm or something like that?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
I haven't seen any updates, so I'm not sure if what's happening on that.
No.
Nuremberg 2.0 is what they're calling it.
I don't know about that one, but the other ones that I know about, they're just delaying them into oblivion. They don't want any of those trials to reach a conclusion, because unless they change somehow magically the human rights of the people, they will lose, the state will lose, the business will lose, and so they just drag them on for a long time.
I mean, they are really...
Sorry, go on.
Crossing the line, I think they do, like Badir was saying, there is a small window here, and if they can't get it done, then it's not going to get done. So I find that encouraging. So we just need to figure out how to keep people off of the compliance, I guess.
I've just found a website which talks about the Nuremberg trials against crimes against humanity. The crimes charged for the Nuremberg courts were crimes against peace and crimes against humanity and conspiracy to commit any of the foregoing crimes. Fulmick and his team present the faulty PCR test in order for doctors to label any comorbidity death as COVID as fraud.
That's one.
It's a good dude.
It's a very horrible looking site, but I'll post a link to this thing that I've got here in the live stream notes.
I think Faye was posting some of those updates, but I hadn't seen anything recently. Maybe it was just on the Telegram.
Well, that's a long time. I will have to read that tomorrow.
It's not very user-friendly, is it?
Well, did you see the thing on the PCR test that has been, where did I post that now? That the PCR test is going away. They got to find a new. Did we talk about this already?
You talked about it, but I'm keen to find out more. I don't understand why it's gone away. Where's it going?
Where is that?
You probably did, but I...
Well, it's the new variant. They have to come up with a new test.
Yeah, well, but Biden also admitted that we have no way of... They have no idea if there's even a test for the variant. So I'm wondering, all these people who are talking about well, the variant is, you know, responsible for half the cases. It's like, well, how do they know? There is no damn test. So they're lying again.
Does anyone talk about death at all?
Exactly. We forgot about that, apparently.
What about the hospitals being overrun?
It was all about the hospitals being overrun. Right now,
high
numbers
nurses?
And the hospitals are completely fine. High numbers. We need to.
Yeah, and where are the dancing nurses when you need them, right?
There was another, Benoit posted some dancing girls doing, and I was cracking up. It was quite hilarious. But they weren't nurses. They were just old ladies telling you not to touch them. I don't know what the point of it was, but.
Is that the variant dance?
That sounds like the safety dance. Remember the safety dance?
Yeah,
I told IPS to do that because he came out with a meme and I was like, yeah, I was like, that needs to be a song to the safety dance. Somebody needs to
He loves you, Linda. I listen to him talk about Linda all the time.
Who?
IPS.
I have heard him say, at points, and Linda Curtis says, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, Linda.
Oh no, it's not that often. But I don't get to listen to him when he does it like at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I'm never chatting then. Too late for me.
The thing I saw today which was quite disturbing, like Swiss news, they talk, oh, we're on a breakthrough with breathalyzers instead of like the shoving the thing up your nose to see if you have COVID. And the guy in the interview, they didn't even realize, he said, we're just testing for products of metabolism that indicate sickness, which could mean influenza or COVID. And they want to implement this breathalyzer test, which is very quick because it just checks for what's in your breath. And they didn't even realize that they had to cut out the part where he said, like, yeah, the metabolic product in your breath would be the same if you have influenza or COVID.
Did we ever have a flu test? I don't ever remember.
The flu test is type A and type B, which I think implies that they're testing for blood types, like either O positive or O negative. Because
they have like every year they categorize what could be the next influenza and A.
Yeah, but
B,
they don't change
C,
the
they
test. This is what I've discovered because my sister worked
they
in
don't?
A lab.
What the fuck?
No. I when COVID came out, I started talking to my sister. She worked in a lab for 38 years in blood bank. So she did these tests, right? She put the vials in to do all the testing. And I asked her, do they ever change the test for influenza A and B? And she's like, no. We get the same test every year. That's all they ever test for is type A and type B. And I was like, what does that even mean? I said, what are they testing for if it changes every year? And then we both kind of talked about it and it was like, yeah, it's probably blood type. It's just a fake test.
Did
you see the thing of the Victorian, the state that I live in, the whatever he's called, health doctor guy, he was quizzed where he said, he was asked the question, the World Health Organization has announced that you can't tell the difference in the PCR test between normal flu and COVID. And the guy just said, there is no flu, so that's it.
Yep, but flu doesn't exist. It's just being locked up in your house all winter. And when you come out in the spring, you get sick because you have no sunshine. You have no fresh air. You have, you know, you're locked in your house with your dust and all the, you know. I mean,
whichever
people don't clean.
Whichever kinds of, like, fungus.
So I'm
going to
bail out and have some lunch.
Yep.
Okay.
Every Western country had next to zero influenza deaths.
Yeah,
how convenient, right?
Oh, magic.
COVID
killed the influenza star.
There's another karaoke tune. But I posted in the live stream notes the PCR changes. It's laboratory alert changes to CDC PCR test. For SARS-CoV-2 testing. And Frank left, but anyway.
Yeah, but Esoteric has joined us. Hello.
Okay, Ounce is reading it. He told me now. Okay.
Hello, sorry. I'm just sunbathing in a horrific winter, 25 degrees, and it's beautiful. but everyone's got masks on.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And I went across not in the lockdown zone.
So they're sunbathing in masks.
No, I'm in my backyard lying out in the sun, you know. But I'm pretty sure if people were at the beach, they wouldn't be. But there are. I went on a bushwalk the other day, and around the corner came a couple, and one of them had a mask on. And I was like, I just have to. That's someone I'm not even going to bother talking to. You know, when you're in the middle of nowhere and you've got a mask on. When we do not have to wear a mask here unless you're going inside a shop. But outside, no mask. In Sydney, it's now masks everywhere, and apparently they're wearing them.
It's stuck with some people.
So you can technically walk around in a bathing suit.
Driving in a car on a fucking bicycle wearing a fucking mask.
They're gone. So far, I've got five to six. I've approached six people in the last few days, and every one of them's taken their mask off. I've said, why are you wearing them? And they said, I don't know. Literally, one couple said, I don't know, I thought I had to. And I said, no, you don't. You'd have to wear them outside. I think you have to wear them if the shop asks you to wear one. But they're just following the others, the sheep mentality, the lemmings. It's, you know, they see one that they think they have to do it. So
even when the people who told you put on the masks tell you not to put it on in, like, open space places, some of them just follow the rules that they learned a year ago. They just...
Now it makes me wonder...
Who's been on about, in Sydney, the amount of Chinese walking around in masks, you know, for the last 15 years? I think they were doing it, they were being paid to do it or told to do it, to start normalizing it. Because we have no pollution is zero in Sydney on most days, yet they're walking around, Chinese people are walking around masked up for years. And I think that was slow introduction of the normalization of it.
If it's Chinese, I can get it. It was the Japanese, they're wearing of the mask before all this bullshit. I'm not sure if I'm sick. I might have the sniffles, so I wear a mask so I don't infect anyone else. That was the Japanese logic. And that actually kind of follows logic, because if you wear a mask when you're actually sick, you can prevent a little bit of spreading it to others. But that's only if you have symptoms, not if you're completely intact medically. That's
what contagious also.
Yeah, but the thing about surgeons, when they wear a mask in surgery, it's not to protect themselves. It's not to protect the patient. It's to protect themselves from whatever spews from the patient. I mean, that's a farce.
A little bit of both.
Itself.
Like
no,
tossing
really
into
not.
An open wound would be bad, for example.
Yeah, but the body is resilient. They know this. It's to protect themselves. It always has been.
Wear a mask if you want to, or you can leave the mask behind. You really don't need to cover your face with a diaper all the freaking time.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You can act like your mask will save the whole world, leaving common sense behind.
That was synchronicity, right?
We got to get the lyrics for that. I do a karaoke with that.
Yeah, someone dropped me the lyrics to that.
I think those lyrics are pretty good about wearing a mask if you want to.
Yeah, that was great. I love that.
Wear the diaper all the freaking time. I wasn't a big fan of that song back in the day, but...
Yeah, but it depends, right?
It sticks in your head, yes. I enjoy it now.
That is synchronicity, because we were just talking about safety mask. I'm sorry, the safety dance song, and that's
next,
it.
The next thing that comes up with the boss is this one. It's perfect.
Oh, yeah?
I'm telling you, karaoke night, I think it could be a hit.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's funny that only the female participants are pushing for this. I hope they do karaoke themselves once.
I have to get drunk first, and we're going to do it where it's not recorded. How about that? I think you'll get more participation.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear that.
We'll find out if Ab likes the idea after listening to this.
Well, I think, you know, if you got Frank, the people who can actually sing, we can record it. But I know I'm not a singer, I can tell you right now. And if it's not recorded, I'll feel much more comfortable.
It's hard to believe listening to your voice, but I will take it from the horse's mouth.
Half a bottle of vodka, and you'll start singing.
Exactly. If I get drunk, but like I said, if it's not recorded, I'm there.
Very nice.
Yeah, hey, I'll keep listening, guys. I'll be chatting tonight in about what's the time now? In 5 hours time. 5 hours time.
Maybe join us for karaoke.
We should do a karaoke. Might do it tonight, actually. I know plenty of people have prepared to sing on that show, especially if Frank turns up.
You should. Isn't there a reason for that?
Karaoke group. There could be a
Make,
called karaoke.
We need a karaoke room, no doubt. But we need to put it on the make a date. Isn't there a make a date?
Yes, there is. Yeah.
Chat room.
Karaoke night on. Yeah, I'll come and do Klaus Schwab doing various songs.
Let's hear some Klaus Schwab.
Well, I shall be speaking like this much later on, of course. Linda, wonderful to meet you, Linda. I hope you are wearing a mask.
We can always tell that there will be cyber attacks.
Yeah, there will be cyber attacks. There will be cyber attacks on the new virus is the truth. Is data is the new virus. He said that, actually. I do believe. The new virus is data, bad information. It's fucking hell. I mean, talk about Bond villain.
But the ultimate enemy is climate change.
Climate lockdowns.
He's saying that as well. Climate lockdowns. It's all there. This is a staggering thing. When I tell people, rich people, when I say rich, people who got a few million in the bank, they've never heard of them. And, they said, one guy said to me, and this is the guy's a big investment banker, he said, oh, look, before that would happen, there'd be a revolution. He said, people revolt before that happens. And I said, well, I don't think so. I would have liked to point outside all the mask wearers. But the wealthy people don't seem to be hearing this. The only people that know about the World Economic Forum are conspiracy theorists, from what I can work out.
It's normal people don't care.
Yeah, they don't. They don't.
They don't.
Yeah, but
the whole world is
normal people, and I think we're the normal
truth.
People.
Yeah, we are technically normal people. I've met
but
a friend of mine from the olden days when I was in school with him, and he went into marketing, and we talked about COVID and everything, and he had quite the interesting term to call the people that believe in all of this. He just called them consumers.
Yeah, well, that's what they are, aren't they? They've been, because no one's marketed anything like this, and that's why Marcus Allen, who's got a high-level background in marketing, he said there's been nothing like the mass repetitive psychological repetition of the word, But in the bushfires here, they used unprecedented, 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 unprecedented all the time. They used that word just to make it out that this was not a natural event, even though bushfires were a natural event here.
And the big bushfires were caused by negligence, by not
by
cleaning
arson.
Out.
Up where I was in the middle of some of the worst ones where I am, and they were arson, at least. 7 or 8 people were charged with arson. So, work that one out. Not only that, they're also caused by the Rural Fire Brigade accidentally, getting volunteers that have probably fire bugs or not experienced at wind changes, and they were lighting back burning, and that ended up starting up some of the worst fires as well. So it was human intervention, and bad management of the land was the reason why we had so many.
You're completely wrong with climate change, didn't you?
Of course, but what else is it? There was something that they're using. Because obviously, you've got the guy in charge of Netflix, which is basically giving you more truth and telling you what's going to happen in the next 5 years. I've thought about him being the nephew, great grandson of Bernays. I knew that a couple of years ago. It's only just kind of been re-bought out again when he took over the job. But if you look into the lineage of the new owner or manager of Netflix, he's one of the, he's got the blood of flowing through his veins of the best propagandists and subconscious manipulators on the planet. He's got Bernays and then he's married to someone else.
Yep.
Incredible.
Told Kevin Smith when he did the new Masters of the Universe, we don't care if people don't like it. We have enough subscribers.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. They're not playing. And I'll go on about this one again, that you were told what was happening by your posters on the, when you drive through by bus stops, you look at the new movies coming out and stuff like that, and they have those digital posters that appear, and 2 years ago, it was November 2019, they had Endgame coming, Endgame, everywhere you looked, and that wasn't just an advert for the movie. which is basically also a pro eugenics movie in a big way. You know, with half the planet disappears, and they build these giant memorials, and everyone's kind of going there and touching the memorials with their loved one's name, which will happen when there's a big when whatever.
Yeah, and they doubled down with the Falcon and the little Winter Soldier series, where portrayed terrorists as the good guys, because when people came back, we kind of need to let mass migration happen because it's the only humane thing to do.
Yeah, it's just incredible. Go.
I was just going to say the end game, as far as half the population and all that. I think they've achieved that already.
Getting there, but I think that what they're getting...
No, I think they've achieved it because the population is way less than what they tell us it is.
Oh, that's a fact, but there's still too many useless eaters roaming around stacking shelves and selling petrol things. There's an awful lot of people have got to go. And if you look at...
I don't think so. I think they just are going to move us into cities and it'll drive people...
They're moving to cities.
You will own nothing and you will be happy.
Yeah. People have got to wake up to the fact that they are going to cult. And you need to be aware, and so you don't get cognitive dissonance and think, oh, no, they wouldn't do that. They're going to do it. They're going to do it, no doubt about it. And if you read any one of the globalist book series, or I didn't even bother. I've got half the books, but... Jade, I broke them down. The common denominator in all those books was depopulation and
But it's been depopulating since the 1950s.
Have you been to Vietnam and seen how many people is there? The place, cities are absolutely jam-packed in certain areas. The regional areas aren't, but they want to depopulate.
Yeah, but they're trying to program people into depopulating themselves.
They're using the what vaccine is they're giving the females now for the one that my daughter had it. The boys are getting it.
But even if it does sterilize people, they're choosing. They're not depopulating the world themselves. People are choosing to depopulate.
That's right. Well, they've been successful because that's what I'm saying. Let me finish about Endgame. The actual story of Endgame, when you're watching it, you realize that when Captain America walks in and he goes, gee, I miss everyone, but I just saw a blue whale in San Francisco Harbor. That is the goal. That they've already got the young people will go, oh, look, you know, look, we need more people to die. I mean, if you speak to Extinction Rebellion, their goal is those guys want radical depopulation for climate change. So they're successful.
Yes, but these young people are if they procreate, they're only going to have one child on their own. They won't even have to tell them like China did. You can only have one child.
Oh yeah, of course, but I think they need a bigger cult. There's going to be an awful lot of people lying around. Do you really think they're going to be giving you a UBI forever to sit around and do nothing? It's not going to happen. You know, when the reset comes, they're talking about total reset of everything, and that would be what they've been doing for the last how many thousand years? Every few hundred years they reset, and that is the massive depopulation. It has to be, otherwise you'd have too many people talking about history and remembering the past and things like that. I mean, I think the Pied Piper of Hamelin. I think that came about in a reset. That legend. I think Hamelin. That something happened like that. All the kids disappeared, or something went down.
Yeah, but that's the whole Bible story in Revelations where the kids disappear. I mean, it's the same story over and over again.
144,000.
Okay. Listen, the kids are disappearing anyway from abortion. How many kids didn't show up?
Have you seen Rockefeller's speeches at the United Nations where he's saying it's just not going fast enough? And he says the United Nations is furiously working on something and will have it written in the next 10 years. And that was about 12 years ago.
I've heard all that, but I think that's just like for us to hear because nobody else hears it. I mean,
they're doing things legally. I think you'll find they've told everyone what they're going to do, and it's depopulation. Whether it's via abortion, via the food, via the injections, via whatever, they're going to do it. But I do think when they bring in the Internet of Things, they're going to have people lying around doing nothing, useless eaters, and they don't want them on the planet. You know, and they will die off quicker with this new whatever they're shooting up.
Yeah, but the useless eaters are going to die early anyway because they're eating all the horrible food.
As they want. Linda, I guarantee you that you're not dying as fast as they want you to die. I guarantee it. You know,
they brought down life expectancy, but not by the numbers that they want.
They're still... Yeah, it's they've got too many people that will be lying. Like, you've got librarians, useless. You've got checkout people, useless. You've got factory workers, useless. You've got bus drivers, useless. They won't be needed.
This is like this.
What are they going to do with everyone?
No, but this is another doomsday story that has been going on for generations. I mean, ever since I was born, there's a doomsday story. So I just think that we're falling into a trap. I think this is a slow progression to depopulate the world, but the population itself is going to depopulate.
That's already happened. So we're on negative growth in Australia. Japan's on negative growth.
We are here in the United States also. So
that's right.
It's already happening.
That's 30 years though before they get a number where they want this done by 2030. So 2050. Okay. So they've got 19 years to achieve what they want according to their own writing.
And it could happen with the youth not having kids and, you know, all the other stuff. It could happen because all of the older generation is going to die off.
Mm. Well,
and
I'm watching
blame it on COVID and the variant or whatever and just progress their, you know, agenda or whatever, but they're dying off. I mean,
they are dying off.
My generation was told would be selfish to put a child on this planet because it's so much suffering.
Yep, depopulation right there.
Yeah, well, it's basically, China's been the role model. They've said that. And now all of a sudden, China, there's a very interesting, well worth listening to an electronic guy talking about scalar technology on the Crow, a couple of Crows ago. And he's a Kiwi living in China. And very interesting for him to say, oh, they're all really happy there. They're allowing a lot of this stuff that he's got. He's had to move there because New Zealand was persecuting him for using some of this, you know, scalar stuff. But he said China is experiencing what America experienced in the 50s before they became a superpower, a baby boom to build up for their future takeover as world police. And they're going through the 50s now. So everyone's happy, getting cars, experiencing prosperity. But that's what we're being told on the media news here.
No. And you have to admit that America was a big part of building China back in the day.
America built Russia. America supplied Russia with all its machinery, and then Canada supplied them with all their wheat and stuff like that because the communist thing does not work. Never does, never will, never could. That's why Zbigniew Brzezinski said he was Pole and anti. He was a radical. He was a different Marxist. He didn't like that form of Marxism. He wanted electronic, scientific Marxism. So he was much more before he got taken under by the Rockefellers. And he wrote his book, which again, read that book where they're saying, you know, population control by electronic means. 1972. It's got to be something to do with the Internet of Things and the 5G, and that needs massive fucking military grade towers that are just going everywhere as I speak. Something's up with them, you know. That's where I'd say that they're not going to kill you straight away, but they're going to be used as putting secondary signals on. And, you know, you've heard of biofeedback. And I don't know if you've ever used biofeedback. Have you tried it before?
No, anyone? I don't know.
Well, biofeedback's been used for a long time. The Russians pioneered it. And it's basically, you know, bouncing a signal into you and you bounce. I've used it regularly. I've got a biofeedback machine the friend lent me. And it's basically electronic signals that helps rebalance your, you know, because you're electric. I don't know if you've ever had acupuncture, but you'll find out that the hard way when you have acupuncture, you realize that you are 100% electric, every part of you.
Yeah, but to rebalance, you just have to go out into
biofeedback machines do what nature
with
does.
Your shoes
that's right.
Off.
That's right. You're going to stand in the water with your feet buried in the sand. And, yeah, of course, that all these guys say the same thing. But you can get biofeedback resonance machines. You've got these. They've been offered for years, small versions that you can put by your bed that will help you sleep at night. They can breathe. They basically hit your alpha waves and your theta and beta waves. Now, if you put that same technology onto these power poles, you'll be able to numb a population down. They've been doing this for years, as far as I'm concerned.
I understand all this because. I mean, the white noise that they're putting out into the atmosphere or whatever is getting everyone off balance from natural vibration.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that is...
Right, they're mucking around with the Schumann.
But it doesn't mean it's going to kill anybody.
It will eventually.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Without a Trace.
and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
There's not going to be a fast. I'm not saying they're going to just have people be dying on the streets melting.
Right.
But
right.
They're going to definitely use these things
minds,
to control.
Yes, but the people's minds are what they're after.
They've already got the, they've already got noise. Most of them. Yeah, they've got
yes,
most
they already
of them
got
the
most
1080
of them. Yes.
The 1080 frequency on the TV, right? You've got your So did you, if you listen to that fantastic, I think Johnny's List played it on our show on a Saturday night a couple of weeks ago. It's a YouTube of a 1975 interview with the Club of Rome where they discuss what, how they're going to get bring this you know their agenda in with the you know the depop, you know bringing the population down, not owning house properties, da 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 da. To, you know, for the climate's sake. And he says, we'll use the law of the sea and radio waves outright. This is a site, this is an, it looks like foreshore.
And this radio waves, I mean, Project Bluebeam, I called it a long time ago as Bluetooth.
Because it could be, that's right. Bluetooth is infrared.
Yeah, but it's a vibration. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I got headsets on right now that's Bluetooth. And
You're asking for trouble. I hardwire everything, but then I go to bed. And I've got two teenage sons that are just like, you know, killing aliens all day, or you know, and with different devices.
This is why a lot of people like me. I mean, my mind is just, you know, fluid all the time, right? So I have to drink so I can sleep because my mind would just not let me sleep.
I think the sleeping patterns. I've been talking to lots of people, and everyone is having a lot of trouble sleeping. So it's got to be a white noise, or it's a secondary signal's already been put out. And a tired person is an easily controlled person. Remember that, you know, when you're tired, you're not up there. And people end up now drinking coffee, which, the coffee is something to consider getting rid of, which I've done. I just have chai now, which is black tea in it. And because when I worked out that, you know, Starbucks was owned by Bill Gates' father.
Yeah, but coffee, tea or whatever, it's still a stimulant. So
coffee is weaponized. It was weaponized, and I've seen, there was a, if you want to watch it, there was a movie came out with in the 90s about volcanoes, and it had one of the James Bonds in it. I forget what it was called. It was basically an advert for coffee, and I realized that they're really plugging coffee. They really want everyone to be, and coffee is one of the biggest industries in New Zealand and Australia. Cafes, it's massive. Coffee has been, there's a lot of GMO coffee coming out, so unless you're buying really good coffee, you're getting this. I think there's something in the coffee. That's a good conspiracy theory. I haven't heard anyone say, but I reckon there's definitely something in the coffee. It affects your stomach, and your stomach is your instinct and your second brain. And I gave it up, and all of a sudden my brain fog is halved straight away.
But your gut, just saying, your gut is where all the shit is, so you have to take it lightly. You see what I mean? Because you can, if you're going by your gut, you can get yourself in trouble.
I'm 57 soon, and I've survived and done very well from just listening to my stomach going, don't, or, you know, following my stomach gut. And it's, I mean, look at what the Chinese, I don't know how much you know about Chinese medicine. When you go there and you have liver problems, right, they don't call liver, they call it emotion. They know your liver is emotion. They don't have any, they don't even just think of it as a filter for whatever. It's an emotion issue. So if your liver is working, you're emotionally in a ball, balanced usually, your chi's balanced.
Right. So if
coffee
you're going by all these different body parts or whatever, so where's your soul in all this?
There's no evidence whatsoever to say that your brain, that your mind is in your brain, mind that you talk to, okay? There is no evidence at all. It's somewhere, it could be part of the, you know, what they call, what's the part of your body, your solar plexus, you know, the soul, you know, there could be something in that. It could be that might be the area where this, whatever your being is. But yeah, we've got to throw out.
So do you think that we go on after we die?
Of course we do. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how many amazing experiences you've had in life, but I think, you know, it's like things just happen, you know. Yeah, and if you ask for it, they happen even more if you know how to ask for it. I'm a millionaire, you know, and I need to do with some money, but you just got to trust what's out there, you know. And I like Frank's attitude, you know, even though he can be a bit extreme, but you've got to ask for help when you need it,
And
yeah, but you don't even have to ask. You can just.
I think
the creation or the creator or whatever knows your mind. You see what I mean? It's like they know.
And that's the whole question: were you predestined to do this and predestined that? So I had a dream when I was, which I still remember clearly, when I was probably 3 or 4. Even though Ab didn't think you can remember that far back, but I remember this vivid dream of watching the stars falling out of the sky and being in a certain place and watching it. And I've always had that in my head. And then years later, I was looking in the Revelations thing, I think, and it says the stars fall, literally start looking, falling from the sky in the end days. But I'm pretty confident I'll see it, you know, because this was so clear.
I've always wondered if falling stars were a soul being put into somebody.
I don't know. I saw a massive one, though, the other night, like a great big, it was a white meteor or shooting star coming on a 45-degree angle, but it went for like 3 or 4 seconds, which is quite a long time, and then just disappeared. I think it's the electric universe, you know. It's like when you're doing welding and the sparks fly off, and that's all it is. Yeah. And I've got a meteorite in my collection upstairs that my uncle found when he was on an island, and he saw it, hurtle into a lagoon. He'd splash. He went out in his boat the next day, because in Solomon Islands, the sand is just actually literally white in the lagoon, and he found this little black ball. And when I've looked at it, it looks exactly like all the meteorites that, if you go online in Australia, go to the Western Desert, meteorites are everywhere because of the ore lines, and something attracts them.
So could you sell that as a moon rock?
Well, it's probably more like it. You know what it looks like, though? It looks like, have you ever welded before? When you watch the carbon come off and it lands on the ground, a little spark and spray, that's what it looks like, big version of that, yeah. And I've seen media, so that's what I think. I'm an electric universe believer, 100%.
Well, I mean, you would know, I mean, we are electric. I mean, how do they bring us back to life when they want to?
Yeah, as I say, if you've had acupuncture, right, and I've hobbled into an acupuncture place with my right hip, I've done something terrible to it, and they stick the needle on the other side of your leg, at the back of your knee, and tell you to move your hip and find the pain. And all the pain that was going in that side of the hip shoots out the back of your left leg, literally. And you can feel it. It's just incredible. 5,000 years, in brackets, of medical practice in China through different eras and, dynasties. Continuous use of the incredible preventative of unblocking energy lines and building up qi, whatever it's called, qi, chi.
Yeah, and they say your hands and your feet relate to the parts of your body, and
Or have you ever? I've had air acupuncture, which is even more amazing. And if you see, so basically, they have a diagram of the fetus curled up, and it's superimposed over an ear, and they'll put a little, it's like a little tiny safety staple, tiny little one. They pop it in an area. Say I had terrible problems from probably having too much coffee years ago. I had a problem with my adrenal glands were over hyper functioning, and he said, "Would you like?" My doctor's Chinese, and he's a doctor of Eastern and Western medicine, so he's not meant to, but he can do Chinese. And he said, "Would you like to try air acupuncture?" And I said, "Yep." He put these little things, poked them into my earlobes on a certain spot, and he said, "Yes, every hour you squeeze them 20 times." The next day, I was a different person, absolutely, completely different, relaxed, not stressed. So. Oh, there's just incredible stuff out there if you're into the alternative medicine that we've been dumbed down about.
Oh, yeah. I'm not into medicine at all. But...
Yeah. Well, you've got to be. You've got to learn to go with your instincts and stuff like that, though, you know.
Yeah, but I think your body tells you a lot of stuff.
People don't listen, though, Linda. This is the problem. They're watching TV.
Oh, I know.
And so one day is another. I could talk for 5 days on the subject, but like another time I had had chronic fatigue or Epstein-Barr. Funny that coincidence, that name, Epstein-Barr. And Barr was Epstein's mentor. But Epstein-Barr is something in your blood that causes you to be absolutely, have no energy whatsoever. And I never had ginger before. I grew up in a really boring, my mother was just like 1950s type housewife that just only cooked things without herbs or spices. But this is when I was over here, I left home, years later. And I just had this craving for ginger. My body kept saying, go and get ginger, 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 ginger. And I went across the road and got a juice with fresh ginger put in it. And then 2 years later, I read ginger creates interferon in the body, and it's perfect for chronic fatigue. And it fixed it. So My body told me to do that.
Yeah, and in my body, when it's fatigued or whatever, it tells me to eat red meat. But
yeah,
well,
good idea
eat.
For a female, especially for females. There's so many females that have swallowed the vegan thing, and they've got...
One of my clients,
she's an artist. It was quite well known in the day. She's in like 70s now, but she said to me one day, she goes, all her friends that were anorexic or vegan, or, you know, went radical, that all ended up mad when they got to their 60s. And when she said mad, she's not meaning, you know, angry. She meant mentally ill, because your body, you need all those things for your brain to function.
Particularly
meat.
Everybody's different depending on their environment they were born in. You know what I mean? Like your diet is completely different than my diet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at Rollo. He's a vegetarian, and he drinks all day. And all the things that should say that he has, all his hair should have fallen out, and he's got a full head of hair. And when you look at his eyes, unbelievably, when he takes his rose glasses off, they're clear and healthy looking. And he's taking, you know what, when a doctor says a healthy amount of alcohol is probably a point something of a drink a day or whatever it is, he's drinking enough for 30 people a day, and somehow he looks fine. So every man to themselves, I say. I couldn't do that.
I couldn't do that either, but I mean, to each his own, right?
How happy you are with yourself, I think.
Yep.
And the other thing is worry and stress, and that's the problem. So I can talk about all these really nasty subjects, but I've kind of got it doesn't affect me as much, but other people, I had an audience, I went to a meeting in the park last Sunday. I had an audience of 5 or 6 people come listening to me talking like I'm talking now, and all of them are all experienced with other things. I've never met them before, but one guy came up to me, he goes, you know, everything you're saying resonates, but he goes, did you know you would be absolutely terrifying a normal person right now? And I said, well, I actually don't talk to normal people like this. You know, I wouldn't waste my time. But if I get an audience, God help them. I just don't hold back, you know. I'll say you need to be prepared to have food. I've never used to be that kind of thing, but I do think when Dr. Schwab or Klaus Schwab says you're going to go through energy, you know, what was it called? They shut the energy down. They're going to do that, guaranteed.
Cyber attacks.
Because my friend was in the bushfires in the South Coast, which were worse than where I am, actually. And in 2 days, get this, they had rounded up people and put them in internment camps. This is Australia, right? But not, you know, because they just said, you can't go back to your village, you can't go, everyone that was in this town were all put, like, they have 2 toilets and about 10,000 people. And people went willingly in there, into these camps. There was no food because of the power went down, so no one had cash. And then the grocery shop shut their doors because they couldn't operate their ATMs. It was in 2 days, there's no food. So when someone says that, you know, Alex Jones goes, you'll be eating, look, you'll be eating the neighbor's ass, in 2 weeks, that's a fact. You know what I mean? Things can go pear-shaped if you're not in a big city and you're out regional areas, unless with these big bushfires or any natural disaster. And the people, if they're hungry, they'll do anything they're told. And Kissinger said that in his speech. You know, he said, people, they may not want to have, I can't remember his voice, but he said, you might not want the United Nations on troops here, but if in a certain situation, you will welcome them. And he knew what he was talking about, you know, the natural disaster hyped up.
Yeah, I'm in a rural area, so I got woods behind me.
Yeah.
So if anything happens, I mean, I can go hunt if I need to.
Yeah, good on you. And that's why, I think that fishing, and that's why I like Stefan Verstappen. It might be the most extreme stuff, but he is a fantastic, his website, I haven't done it myself, but I've listened to him and I love his stuff. He's got his head on his shoulders, that guy. And he says you can go for, I think it's $30, it might be less. He'll send you PDFs of every information that he's stored up on, you know, how to do everything. And he said bury them and just, you know, keep it somewhere you can watch it on or whatever, and bury the PDF somewhere because they're going to shut down. This reset is information reset as well. So all your computers, all your hard drives will get attacked.
Yeah, but they're slowly doing the information reset. They're just pulling people to where you can't find them anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a slow progression on that, but yeah, they're going to do it.
Yep, no doubt. No doubt whatsoever. Anyway, I shall let you go. Good chat. This is the kind of stuff I don't talk about, but I'll do another one, Linda, et cetera.
It's been a great chat.
Yeah, thank you. I'll speak to you soon. I'll be on tonight, being a bit more
loose.
Right. I'm listening in the morning because it's getting late here. Yep.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That's all, folks.